Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops on cocaine.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's fine.
Oh, God damn it, man. Oh, my God.
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm still your host, Justin Crosley.
One more time, at least.
One more time.
What happened to the doomsday? You got the Christian guy who thought the world was going to end the other day was wrong. You were wrong about your prophecy, your prophesized disembowelment and recovery.
Doom and gloom.
Did you forget you were 40 yet?
I have not.
Good.
Yeah, you're a week in now almost. Yeah.
I am. And
weakening.
It's been a long week. It's been a bender of a week. So I'm feeling 40-er than I am.
Oh.
No.
Double 40.
Yeah. My birthday was like a 4-day marathon, and then Kate's birthday.
Right.
So
I heard a little about that.
Went to Reno with Bevo and Sam for that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Sam and I are a bad combination.
Mm-hmm. At 10 in the morning bed.
Oh, my God, they're the worst. They're so bad for each other.
Yeah, we really don't. We make a lot of really poor decisions together. And we just, even as we're making them, we just look
decisions.
At each other.
You're like, you want to do this?
For Kate's birthday, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just stayed up all night for too many nights.
Yeah, I called Kate, you know, wish her happy birthday, and that was like noon, and she's like yawning.
Yeah.
And then so that you came at like 10 in the morning.
Yeah, we went to about 10 or 11, and the following morning, like we knew all of the pit bosses and the dealers then. They were just making fun of us. we were drunk and stupid. I still feel old. Forgot my glasses today, so I'm like struggling reading over here, which is making me feel even older.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
you got to have your accoutrement, dude.
What's that?
All your shit and all your you have like a tackle box full of all.
He's already forgetting shit. He's getting old.
You forgot your basic French. I mean, as you get older, you have a collection of support vehicles to you know, for lack of a better term.
I know.
You're like a rider in like the Tour de France. You have a support vehicle.
To follow me at all times.
Yeah, you need that.
Doc hasn't gotten you a matching glasses necklace.
Oh yeah,
that he wears. A beaded chain. Yeah,
I like the little like fake gold one.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, you guys could be twins.
No, but I think you are at the point where maybe you should buy the 3-pack from Costco.
No,
and
that's
like
what I was just
going to
say.
Here, there, and
I now have the Costco pack because for this reason, but it doesn't matter.
Well, the dollar store has a bunch of them too. And you don't care if you sit on them or throw them away, or
right?
Whatever. It's like, hey,
yeah. It's the reading glasses are stupid because if you just wear glasses all the time, you just wear your fucking glasses.
Glasses.
You don't have to carry them. You don't, you know, I'm not saying you never lose your glasses, but in general, you leave the house, you already have your glasses on your face.
Exactly right.
With the reading, you only need it at when those times, and so they're never on, and it's on and off all day, and off and off and on. It's retarded.
You should get bifocals, but half... Yeah. Normal ass glasses, and the other half for your reading glasses.
And you can look really old then.
Yeah.
I've tried those. I tried the ones that don't have the lines, so like they don't look like.
They're called
transitions.
They don't work that well.
You got to get used to them. Otherwise, you're banging your forehead and stuff.
What you want to be banging.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No.
But you say you misjudge. You look down. You don't see things.
Right. Yeah. I'll get dizzy. Like if I keep them on, and I stand up from the computer or something,
I feel like
Beardy. Yeah.
That might be your high blood pressure.
I'm not even old yet.
I guess it could be.
Just imagine me in 10 years.
Oh man.
I can't imagine you alive in 10 years.
What do they say about your eyeballs, Beardy? Like, are you going to
need a dog?
Is your degeneration like everybody else's, or will your degeneration?
Yeah. It's pretty much just like everybody else, because what's degenerating for you are your lenses, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And so
that and the muscles in your eyeballs.
Yeah. Okay. And so my lenses are fine. They're not the part that's fucked up.
I see.
So that will just behave like normal.
This car is very shiny.
But
right.
I am more susceptible to cataracts.
I see.
They can fix those.
The average person.
Yeah, at least that's fixable, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Do they make a... I'm not going to say that. Change your cataracts.
Oh. Aren't those boats? Those old fishing boats?
Yeah.
You should try monovision.
Oh, those are catamarans.
What's that?
It's one eye.
You wear one contact lens.
Oh, that sounds
difficult. And then your brain learns to
read from that eye.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, like that eye would accommodate your reading, and then your other eye would accommodate for your distance.
That sounds like a biohack. Like we're living we're over here living in 2017, and you're over there living in like 2239.
I feel like that.
Yeah. I know people that got LASIK done that way, and
Tasty
they regret it.
Tasty did. No.
I wouldn't say do
really?
LASIK.
Yeah,
that way.
He did what?
He got the one eye and one eye not. Yeah.
Just
I
for reading.
Dumb, but,
but Tasty's hella old and doesn't wear glasses.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
He read much?
Nobody sees all the young kids.
Yeah. I mean,
he reads his Facebook page.
Does he see them, or does he just feel them?
He knows enough to recognize his name, and that's it.
Yeah.
If it's worth continuing to read, who doesn't start with a T and end with a Y, he's not going to do it.
Oh, right. That blob is me.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com and check out all of the wonderful things that they have. They got a really good website and a lot of awesome products. And, of course, you know, they've been our longest-running sponsor, and we just love them. Go over to morebeer.com. You can write in the comments field at checkout. Let them know that, you know, you heard about them here on the BN, and that goes a long way. And we keep getting checks, maybe, because of it. So that's nice. On today's program, we're talking about cider. We've got Gowan's Heirloom Ciders on the show with us, a California cidery. Been around since 1876, this place.
Nice.
So well over 10 years.
At minimum.
Yeah.
We can say that for sure.
Yeah.
I think Jesus drank there.
Yeah. I've read that.
Yeah.
I read that in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. And on the eighth day,
Jesus
went to Gowan's hard cider.
Just stop
or whatever.
It.
Was that before or after you got reading glasses?
It was before. Yeah. That, the reading glasses don't help with the Bible. That's some really fine print.
It is really fine print.
Yeah, you got to read between the lines.
Yeah, that one's on purpose, too. That's like that's the origination of like fucking the fine print.
Yeah.
To get one by you. Like, oh, and by the way, you're going to burn in hell.
Right.
Yeah. It's tiny print.
Bottom line, here's the book. Well, I can't read. I know, but just here's the book. Bottom line is do whatever I say. Okay, Father.
You should have wrote the foreword.
If I was in town that day, I would have done it. I was
it probably
out of town.
Still wouldn't be published, just like the other books you've written forwards for.
It may not actually be a real book. I mean, John just maybe fucking mildled my ass.
It's true. Like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the new John?
The new John, but the old Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right.
He mildled you. Yeah, it's been on the shelves for... I have 8 copies.
No, it just was never published. He wasn't even writing a fucking book. He just wanted to fuck with me.
He just felt like you need something to do.
Yeah, him and Ashton Kutcher
break up your video games.
He wrote it. It's a bestseller. Beardy actually got chosen for the foreword, I think, is what happened.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
To the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah. The Law Bible.
That's disappointing.
King Warren Bible.
All right, so we'll be talking cider today. We got Sharon Gowan on with us, and we'll learn all about Gowan ciders. I'm glad we have a cider show because I'm a little beard out right now.
Yeah,
so it'll
yeah.
be a nice switch.
Cider's a great choice, man.
It is.
Anytime. I love cider, but especially when you're beard out, but you still want to hate yourself in the morning,
yeah.
cider's there for you.
Cider's the way to go.
Cider is your friend.
I'll do cider and wine because I don't drink liquor.
Right.
Very. Although I did yesterday, and that was bad.
Probably in Reno too
with Sam.
No, did I drink liquor in Reno? No, I think I stuck to beer there.
That's why you didn't get drunk enough.
Vodka yesterday, and
why?
You know, I was beard out.
Okay,
and so I did like a vodka soda cranberry thing.
Oh, okay, like a Cosmo or whatever.
And I was feeling good, so I was like ordering doubles. And you know what's been happening to me lately?
Ramping up.
I can hold my liquor. Well, past tense. I could hold my liquor really well my whole life.
Okay.
And I can see it coming, right? So then I just dial back when I'm starting. I'm not saying I don't get hammered, but I'm like fall down drunk.
Right.
Man, in the last couple weeks, it just hits me like that.
Ooh.
And then I was fall down drunk.
Really? It sneaks up on you.
They were carrying me down the street.
Wow. So you pulled a Schumann, essentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but that's your double vodka drink.
Am I drinking more than I used to, or am I not processing alcohol as well as I used to?
Trying to keep up with the youngins.
I think you're drinking faster. Like, my problem with wine, certain red wines, like a lighter red wine, like a rosé, for example, I will fucking drink that like it's water.
I see.
And then halfway through the bottle... my head will start to hurt. I'm like, oh, shit. What the fuck? I had no idea. So it might be...
half a bottle. That's like breakfast.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, whatever. What are you going to do?
Pour it on the cornflakes.
But like, you know, or like a good tiki drink.
Yeah.
I will suck that shit down in 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's a lot of booze.
I've seen you do that.
Yeah.
I suck on a decorative glass.
You got to get to the bottom to get another one to see what other glasses they have. So maybe it's something like that where if you don't taste the booze.
I'm drinking fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think like with beer, I don't know, you're aware of, I mean, it's going to sound dumb, but you're aware that there's alcohol in it, right?
And it's filling enough that you know.
Yeah. But with a well-made cocktail, you're not really tasting that.
I think you're right.
And you're figuring you're going to die pretty soon because you're old and you might as well just power it down. Yeah.
You're the guy starting it.
Yeah, you're the guy who's out in the back behind the train pushing the train forward. Let's go!
Get this over with.
You're drinking the well-made vodka sodas.
Yeah. Well, the other night it was beer, though.
Fucking warm.
That one snuck up on me. And I'm telling you, it just... So I went to the Giants game, and it was my actual birthday. So I kind of drank all day. Went to the game, drank. And I was fine. I was intoxicated, but I was fine. And I'm telling you, it's like the snap of a finger. Game's over. Walk to the car. Doing fine. The second I get to... I wasn't driving,
by the way. You push the ignition.
It's like right when I turn the key.
Yeah, I hit the bridge.
Kate the Gate Great was driving. Man, I sat down in the car, hammered, like falling over in the car.
Dude, what is that? Because I've experienced this as well coming out for some clubs where you're doing fine, and maybe it's the adrenaline of where you were and you're walking and you're doing that. But once you're stationary, and like it all, like your cells just go, all right, let them in.
Right.
And then that's, it's a weird phenomenon. I know what you're talking about, and it's fucking weird.
It's weird.
Did you remember the drive home?
Yes. Parts. Most of it.
The bridge. Okay. The right. pretty bridge. Mm. And then...
They just put me in the back seat and I, like, fell over.
Okay.
Nice.
I mean, I was... Yeah. I
remember, and since then.
But what?
Any more incidences?
Well, the one yesterday. So it was on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then... God, and there was another time a couple weeks ago. And then yesterday.
What were you doing yesterday? Just day drinking?
Yeah, went to this weird festival called the Folsom Street Fair, which is like a sex fest, basically.
Right.
You know what's weird about that, besides everything? It's fucking getting recognized from the Brewing Network.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm at some freak fest. I got a leash on. And, you know, and some guy goes, "Hey, are you Justin?" Yeah. Love the show, man. Thanks. Could you put your dick away, please?
Yeah. No, this is the show. My dick is called The Show.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
This is why you should buy clothes that aren't all branded.
Right. I wasn't branded at all.
Well, with the Brewing Network.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I got branded later.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, so it was day drinking, for that. And
all
right. I was doing fine. But then, went into a bar to get out of the crowds. Had a couple double vodkas.
Why the doubles, though? If you don't think you can handle your liquor, and then you can't like really handle your liquor, you go from 0 to 1,000 real fast. Why the doubles? Why not the single? And
you never know when the waitress is coming back.
It's
a casino.
First of all, I didn't really put it all together till today.
Okay.
That it's been happening to me, like, more than once.
Okay.
So when I ordered yesterday, I wasn't thinking that was going to happen.
All right. Okay.
I was just thirsty.
So you needed more data points.
No.
To draw a hypothesis from?
I wasn't even thinking about it.
You're right.
It had happened a couple times. I just kind of put it out of my mind, you know, like, wow, that was weird. But now that there was a trifecta, I just started thinking about it today. I just thought it was strange. So,
have you tried a triple instead of a double? Maybe if we get three times as much.
I've done those.
Over a saturation point and you come back.
Exactly right. You circle back to zero.
Right.
That's a good... Wow, Warren.
Science.
Let's go to Vinny's right now. Let's test this fucking theory. Yeah.
That's the second time I've heard Vinny's in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was there.
Today?
Last night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
After the fact. So I got super hammered and then sobered up enough and started again is basically what I did.
Okay. That's never
good. I have very little sympathy for you.
Oh, no, I'm not looking for it. It's okay.
That's good.
You didn't go in there alone because that's not right.
No, I didn't. I didn't
go. That's not right.
No. Although it was pretty lonely in there.
Everyone's alone in there.
Not a lot of people at the dive bar on a Sunday night at 11 o'clock.
You'd think there would be.
But there wasn't. No, it was quiet.
Oh, wow. Well.
One of our ex-employees was in there, and she's a wackadoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not BN employee.
Serving doubles.
Yeah. Oh, that was no good. All right. Let's get through some announcements other than my health, or lack thereof.
Okay.
Don't forget, we got a whole barrage of events happening at our new Hop Grenade Fort Collins right around the Great American Beer Festival. We're starting up next week. Next week. That's right. On Tuesday of next week, we're doing a GABF All-Stars event at Fort Collins where it's going to be all medal-winning breweries, not just from Colorado, but from all over. So you can come out to the Hop Grenade, and myself and Tasty will be on hand for that event. You can come meet us. Then on Wednesday, the Rare Barrel, which you don't get out there in Colorado very often, maybe once in a blue moon. They're doing a big event with us. We're going to do a live Sour Hour. I believe that starts at 5 o'clock. You can check the BN website for specifics. But Moscow and Jay from the Rare Barrel will be there doing a live show. And then both Jay and Alex, the owners, will be on hand and serving Rare Barrel beer on tap in Fort Collins. Beardy, you're not coming until like GABF, right? So you'll be there the following week?
Yeah, so okay. I'll be going right into Denver on Wednesday, but then headed up to Fort Collins on Sunday.
On Sunday.
For GABF.
Okay, great. Because on Monday, I believe that's the 9th, we're doing the session live from Fort Collins. And I think you're staying here, right, Doc? Did I hear that? Or are you going out there? I forget what you were saying.
I thought I got mistaken with the week with the dates. Next Monday.
Okay.
I can't do it then. I'll be here.
Okay. So Beardy and I will be holding down the fort on the session, and we're going to be interviewing Joyride Brewing Company out of Colorado. So a lot of things happening out there. Would love to see you guys. So come check us out. Let's see what else. Oh, Tasty's got an event tomorrow night, or is it tonight? Let me check his text. Tasty's on a tour with the 2-1-A for the Tasty beer. They got him going all over the place. I guess they've been having a great time with both Sean and Nico. Tasty and Sean did an event, I think, last night in Chicago. But tomorrow night it is at the Global Tap Room in Edwards, Illinois. You can go meet Tasty, try the beer. It's a damn good beer, too. So
doing the Midwest tour.
Yeah, he is. And then after his Midwest tour, he'll be at the GABF in Fort Collins with us. So check that out. And then here this Friday, the 29th, at the Hop Grenade in Concord, we've got the Doe's Pro-Am event. So all of your Doe's Club members, Doc, who have done Pro-Am beers, and we got those beers on tap. So you can come meet your local homebrew club or just hang out with your...
What time does that start?
Probably 5, I think. It's on. You can go to thehopgrenade.com and check it out on our events page there.
Yeah, I might blow into town for that one.
There you go. Yeah, that's always a good time. So a lot of different events happening, and I can't wait till they're done. It'll be great. all right. Hey, you can do your Amazon shopping. Great place to shop. Just hit the Amazon link on our homepage and do all your shopping like you normally do. Great way to support the BN. And... and get good stuff from Amazon. You can do that in the U.S. and the U.K. When you go over to our Amazon page, you can click on the U.K. link if you're over there, or the U.S. link if you're here. We tried it with you Canadians, but didn't work out.
Yeah.
The interface was way too nice.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure if it's working out with the U.K. either. I got to check that one.
Mm. Well, those guys are dicks.
But you Americans.
Americans.
We got it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
this whole commercialization, this whole capitalism thing, we love it.
Yeah,
we're all about it.
We consume very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that support, everybody. You can also support us by subscribing and joining the BN Army. It gives you a chance to win $100 in the More Beer monthly donation giveaway. We draw a name to one of our BN Army members every month and send you a gift certificate for $100 that you can spend on anything you want at More Beer. So sign up for that. You can do it as little as $2 a month, and you know, that's how we stay afloat over here. So check that out. All right, and then you know, get all kinds of updates and other things. I don't know, humorous memes. Is that what everyone does now?
People do memes, yes.
Millennial.
But I don't think we do memes.
We don't do memes?
No.
Are we too old for memes?
We're
I don't know. I do
like
the fucking shit out of memes, but
you
I don't know if the Brain Network does memes.
I see.
Yeah.
We should probably start doing memes. I hear that's the thing.
I send a bunch to Kim, but she just
youngins.
She just flips me off and tells me to like lose this contact number, and the old judge says don't text me and all this kind of stuff.
She's a millennial. Maybe she finds them not funny to millennials and is protecting us from your jokes.
Oh, no, they're hilarious.
Oh.
They're hilarious.
Do we hashtag?
Yeah.
They hashtag on the internet, don't they?
Why don't you pick one now?
I'll pick one now.
To show us.
Okay.
Hashtag.
And we'll see. Yeah.
Pick a hashtag. I'll hashtag it right now. Well, now we'll the connection see. Failed.
You can sign up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and get all sorts of updates. Oh, also, when you join the BN Army, you get our newsletter, which goes out every month. It's written in a semi-proficient manner.
Again, we don't really do proficiency.
Yeah. Send feedback over to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can send your show ideas over there, too, if you want, or send them to bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com.
Okay, here's a meme.
Here's a meme.
Okay. It's verbal.
And I can read it, too. Yeah. It's a verbal meme. See, I think you've already failed.
No.
Memes are supposed to have photos.
Yeah, that was like a picture.
Not pictures. Always. No, the meme has evolved, boys.
Oh.
Stick with me. I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm into BDSM, being a disappointment to so many people.
Funniest part was your reaction. That wasn't funny at all.
It's like postmodern ironic.
Sam sent me a meme.
So Kim Shimke's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Sam sent me a meme of a lady wearing a shopping cart as a dress, and it said maybe she's born with it, maybe it's methamphetamine.
Yeah. It's good.
That was funny.
I don't even want to read that. That's not good either.
Oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
That is not good.
Wow.
I don't think it's good.
Okay. So memes are just shitty jokes?
Yeah, but there's a certain level of, like, irony to some of them that make them funnier than they would be normally. To the layman, people in this room, including the other room adjacent to this room, don't understand. But, you know, yeah, I'm into BDS because it's a play on a meme where, like, it would say the word and then you make other words from the initials, right? Oh. Like, it was pretending it was an acronym because it's an acronym and you're defining the acronym. But if you misspell the acronym in your definition, then you're funny.
So I have to see a lot of other memes.
Warren, I'm going
to
throw this fucking...
If you have to explain it that much, too, that's a sign it's not funny.
No, it's
and your explanation made it less funny.
Stop it. I'm not explaining the definition. I'm explaining the genre of the meme to you. So now that you get it, you can hopefully put it in context.
Yeah. No, I got it, I think.
Okay.
Explain it one more time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find another one because...
I got to keep moving, though.
All right.
You know what is funny and fun? Our Twitter game.
Oh.
Yeah. The Twitter game, which I'm sure JP has for us, is brought to you by the American Homebrewers Association. You can go to homebrewersassociation.org. You can also sign up and become an AHA member through our website. Just click the AHA link on our homepage there. That's a great way to support us. Plus, you get a good membership. The membership is great. You get Zymergy Magazine. Of course, there's the Homebrewers Conference you have access to. The new Brew Guru app tells you all of the member deals that you get, which you can get all your money back just in savings of member deals. Like, for example, at the Hop Grenade, I think we give 10% off all bottles and draft. So go check them out. Homebrewersassociation.org. JP must have just found another one of his favorites.
I'm laughing at my own jokes. They're not really my jokes, but they're my collection of jokes.
All right, what's our Twitter game today?
Our Twitter game today, Justin, is... I don't know if you guys are all aware, but recently someone paid a cool $6,700 for a pair of Adolf Hitler's bloomers, underwears, boxer shorts.
Wow.
$6,700. Well, and I don't know
didn't
if they
he
were
have
clean.
Syphilis?
Who was holding on to them?
That's a rumor. Yeah.
Who was holding on to those things? He was very flatulent.
I don't know.
What a strange. I mean, I know it's already strange. I know that people like collect, you know, that kind of memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange enough when you add underwear into it from
from Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, Hitler's little wiener was touching the cloth.
Yeah.
Did his mom sew his name into it? How do we know that?
Good question.
They're Hitler's underwear.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
But anyways, so in 50 years, okay, mm-hmm. How much in barter will a pair of Doc's European cut briefs go for?
Ooh. Oh.
It has to be in barter, not just dollar amount, because, you know, Doc is in a little barter, John. So
we're wondering what will be bartered.
What we bought, how much in, like, a trade, in a, you know, barter situation.
Yeah.
Specific color?
I can make it a specific color if you want. Do you think you have a color that is worth more? One?
Well, what are you talking about? You wear Euro-style whitey tighties. Is there like a different shade of white?
Oh, yeah. I got Black Friday.
Okay.
I got white ones on Sunday.
Yellow Thursdays?
Yeah.
The Black Fridays are still white.
Don't buy yellow.
It's yellow every day. Brown-bottomed.
By default, I guess.
Yeah. All right. What would you barter for a pair of Doc's underwear in 50 years?
Yeah.
What will it be worth? Great. How about some feedback?
Let's do it.
Please.
Feedback's brought to you today by author extraordinaire John over at the Beer Law Center. Go check it out, beerlawcenter.com. He protects our trademark, can do the same for you. Can also help you with your brewery filings, your paperwork filing, especially there in North Carolina. And he's just an all-around good guy. He gets it. Check him out at beerlawcenter.com. All right, let's see if I can read. A giant dildo in the feedback this week. Which is strange. This first one is interesting. It's really long. I gotta try to get through it. It's titled Golden Showers, I'll have you know.
Interesting. So, do you want me to read it for you?
No.
Are you sure?
I got it. In the Google Docs, you can make it. Have you seen the Google Docs? You can increase the,
yes, Grandpa.
The text size.
The robot has it.
Yeah.
By default.
He says, hello, Brewing Network crew. In lieu of a few members of the crew recently returning from Burning Man. Is that proper? In lieu of? Or, I think that's wrong.
Instead of, or in case you made it, or...
Because, that, yeah, that's not how he's using it. Anyhow, I'm not here to give you an
glad
English.
Glad you made it back.
In lieu of a few members of the crew recently returning from Burning Man, I wanted to share the story of a project my friends and I did for a regional burn this past year. Regional burn is they do like mini Burning Mans across the country, across the world, actually.
That Burning Boys.
Like, hardcore burners get into. The project was made possible in part by all the knowledge that you guys share, and also by your sponsor, Adam and Eve. So he goes, every year me and my friends attend a regional burn. They bring beer, and people like it. They do say that many of the recipes that they've brewed are inspired by Brewing with Style, Jamil's book, of course. And he's learned a bunch in the past. Well, one of the recipes that he brewed was a Belgian Golden Strong inspired by Jamil's recipe. And they raise funds for the cost of the beer by having people donate money and then be able to name a beer after them. The Golden Strong ended up being named Al's Golden Shower. So he says the next obvious step was to figure out how to serve beer directly out of a dildo, as a matter of fact.
So it's gonna be hard
logically. Yeah.
So he did that, and it was a big hit, he says. They also got it from Adam and Eve at 50% off. They got the largest one they could find because they wanted beer to pour, you know, out of it. So they figured they needed to drill down the center of it
to make a urethra,
right?
Essentially,
right.
Which
and
you're playing God at that point, but
which they did, and it was one of the whole experience was one of the highlights of the burn for many participants.
I bet.
So many.
With that, he wants to thank us for what we do. you guys want to see photos?
Please.
That's it there.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And they drilled down the center of it. So it's just a large red, dildo. And it's got a...
got some balls.
With a hose coming out the center. It's kind of more than a tap handle.
It looks like a tap handle.
It's actually a tap.
Yeah.
Is what it is. So that the beer comes out of the prosthesis.
I'm kind of surprised that that's the biggest they had.
Right. Well,
I would expect bigger.
Well, I think widest, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
Mm. Size doesn't matter, Beardy.
Width. It's all about width.
Yeah. It needs a lot of girth.
Yeah. He did say that in the comments of the product on Adam and Eve that somebody commented that my wife opened the package from Adam and Eve and saw it. She didn't even take it out of its own package. She
just
was like,
I'm not putting this in my package.
It's happening. All right. Hey, thanks for writing in. Glad to hear from a fellow burner. Josh in Bellingham, Washington writes in. This is about the Cloudburst show. Hello, gentlemen, Bevo and Kim. Just wanted to say I seriously enjoyed the Cloudburst show, and kudos to Justin for asking specifics about how they went about funding the brewery. Cloudburst recently did a collaboration with my personal favorite local brewery, Chuckanut, which we also love.
Yep, nice.
That was called Nutburst IPA. Rather unfortunate name, but probably a good beer. He said it's an amazing beer and put them on my radar. I recently re-enlisted as a lowly corporal in the BN Army, and just want to thank you guys for several years of great interviews and entertainment. Love the session, Dr. Homebrew, Brew Strong, and especially that other show. Looking forward to trying some tasty IPA. All right, thanks, Josh, and cool stuff. Let's see. Paul from Queensland, Australia, wrote into us.
Hello, boy.
Queensland.
He says,
Queensland.
G'day, JP, Beardy, and newcomer Justin C. He wants to say the last couple months of the session have been some of the best. But also, buying Brewer's publications books in Australia is a little shit. Managed to get John Palmer's newest version of How to Brew on the recommendation for the Brewing Network after a shitload of communication with the Aussie distributor. Now I'm hearing about the Session Beer book from the Brewers Association. That's right. They do have a great book out, in fact. Session Beer is written by Jennifer Talley.
That's right.
Which is available now. So he's trying to get his hands on that anyway. Something about I want to attribute my purchase to you guys. So if I buy it, how do I give feedback to say I heard about it from the TBN? I see. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine that maybe there's a comments section.
Usually.
Or but he's not buying it straight from the Brewers Association. So there might be a general email over at the Brewers Association.
Yeah.
I do have an email contact I could give you. I just don't want to give it out over the air without asking the dude first. It's our rep over there. So I can find out about that. But just go to the brewersassociation.org. I think there's no the. It's probably just brewersassociation.org. And there's got to be a contact page. And it would be great if you could send over. They're big supporters of us, too. Every time a book comes out, they let us know about it, let us help them promote it. So that would be cool to do. Wish I had a better answer for you, but just go to the email over there. All right, and this one's about an award. Hey, BN crew, this is just another This Award's For You email from a listener who felt he should send some gratitude your way after his first significant homebrew competition achievement. Was recently surprised by winning Best of Show at the Santa Cruz County Fair.
Nice.
For my Cumulus Stratus Cirrus and Nimbus, a quadruple northeastern style extra cloudy IPA. Wow. He says, just kidding. The first Kolsch I ever brewed received top honors, and I just wanted to say thank you for being such an invaluable source. I think we're going to try Beardy's Kolsch
nice,
today.
Way to go. Yes.
So
it did not win a Best in Show in anything.
Right.
Except so. In our hearts.
Well, not yet.
No.
All right. Well, thank you for writing that in, Jason.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, congrats. Sounds like you made a great beer. And that, my friends, is your feedback for today. Thank you to the Beer Law Center for supporting that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Gowan's Heirloom Cider on the program with us next. We're going to try some other wonderful cider. I think we got about four different ones. And they've been around for a long time, so I think we're going to learn a lot. Hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Lab swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff, Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Hi, this is Tyler from Libertine Brewing Company in the Central Coast of California. You're listening to Brewing Network, The Session.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
But that's what's good about it, is that it sucks, right?
Welcome back to the program, and thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're going to get to Gowan's Heirloom Ciders here in just a second. But first, I wanted to remind you all about Great Fermentations, a wonderful sponsor of ours. You can go to greatfermentations.com. And, of course, they've got the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web, and their staff is some of the best trained in the business in using Blickman products. So, God, it's a good thing I have most of these memorized right now, I'll tell you that. They also offer top-notch customer service and same-day shipping on so many items. So check them out at greatfermentations.com, and you can be sure to like them. You should be sure to like them over on Facebook. It's GR8 Fermentation there, and Twitter, and Instagram. Greatfermentations.com. All right, so we're going to do some cider talking here with... Well, I guess we're going to find out. It's got to be at least one of America's oldest cidery, if not the oldest cidery. And we will let owner and cider maker Sharon Gowan tell us that. She's on the line with us right now. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Thanks for being on the program with us.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be here. Very excited.
We got your guys in the studio here. Ed McGrath, sales manager, is in the studio with us. And Evan Burt, East Bay Territory sales manager.
Whoa.
Hey, thanks for that title.
We just invented that at the break, Sharon.
Sharon's like, what is happening?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Don't worry. I didn't promise a raise with it. We just gave him the title. So that usually works for like a year. You know, you do the title,
yeah,
and then, but you're on your own next year, Sharon.
I don't know. Evan's pretty good. He's on the fast track, so
okay.
That may not work.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're pouring some of your cider in our glass now, but I was hoping you could give us a little bit of history of the company. I see on your website that you guys have been around since 1876. Surely you haven't, but you can probably give us a good amount of history of the company and let us know a little bit about it.
Sure, yeah. So we're six generations now.
Wow.
And so great-great-great-grandfather showed up here on this plot of land and purchased it from homesteaders. In order to homestead some property, you had to plant an orchard. So there were some trees planted here already. And some of those trees are still growing here. One of our oldest trees is a 150-year-old apple tree.
Wow.
And it's still producing Gravenstein.
Wow.
And so we have some very old trees. Most of our trees are around this 50 to 70-year-old, which is still pretty old for trees.
Yeah.
For those six generations, the family's been planting and testing and sampling and tasting and evaluating which varieties of apples grow the best and produce the best flavor here in this terroir. And just like wine grapes, where you grow the apple matters depending on what type of apple you're growing and the flavors that you get. This particular area is in Anderson Valley. And so what we will get is very warm days and cool nights, which allow for slower flavor development and a longer growth period.
Got it. Anderson Valley, California, everybody, which is a beautiful area, too. Your family was pretty smart to stop there. I like that spot.
It's gorgeous. We're actually right on the valley floor, but we have some hillside orchards as well. And so we border Hindy Woods, and the river runs through the property. And then we have Mountain View orchards that overlook the valley. So one side is redwoods, and the other side is oak-dotted hillsides.
Wow. That's impressive. And the age of these trees, that's kind of astonishing to me. For one, I can't even grow weeds. They die. So to be able to, well, you tell me, how impressive is that? It would seem to me that over time, a fruit-producing tree, I don't know, would get tired out or something. How unique is it that if a tree were left alone to grow like that, an apple tree,
will it make a sound?
Will it? Would it last that long without a human's care?
No, most likely not. Though there are apple forests in Kazakhstan.
Oh, interesting.
Which is where they say apples came from. Those would more. There'd more likely be a lot of seedling apples, fairly small, not like an apple tree you would see around. That forest, they're losing it to, I'm not sure, being developed or something, I suppose. But there's 10 to 20,000 varieties, named apple varieties in the world, so identified. And then these trees are selected to produce more, for people to plant more, to graft more, because of some particular characteristic of that apple, like it's got a redder skin, or it's a sweeter taste, or it has some other flavor characteristic, or it ferments well. And so these are selected varieties that have been propagated, and in some cases, these varieties have traveled around the world. So they may not necessarily be the hardiest grafts. And you have to know that the top of the tree is not the same as the bottom of the tree. Usually you graft the variety you want on top of a rootstock, just like you would for wine. So depending on how sturdy that rootstock is, how the two marry up, if they work well together, you may have a sturdier base of the tree, or you may have a less sturdy base of the tree. I don't know if I answered your question,
yeah. But
it's relatively unusual.
It is, okay. No, that's okay. That's just so you know, that's exactly the kind of answer we like on this program. Our listeners are we're all geeks here, so we want to hear as much as we can.
Wonderful.
Now, let me ask you this, too, and maybe you said this in your description, and I missed it, but with an older tree like that, is there anything akin to like old vine Zinfandel, right? Like it actually, the grape will have changed because it's so old. Is that something that happens with apples?
So I'm assuming you mean beyond the marketing aspect of it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe, yeah, you should. Maybe I need to be corrected on that.
I don't actually know. A lot of people do believe that the old vines produce a better fruit. I don't know that that's the case, and there's been no studies of that on apples. So I can tell you, though, that most commercial orchards most commercial orchards are growing apples that that are designed to look good on a grocery store shelf and to be harvested before they're ripe, stored in cold storage or controlled atmosphere for up to a year, and then shipped to its final destination where you will see it on a grocery store shelf. None of those things would make a very good wine either. Big difference is the variety of the apple. Probably that would be more recognizable than the age of the tree that particular variety came from, just because you don't have that many data points to evaluate that at this point.
I'll see. I don't know if you've ever been told this, but you have an uncanny knack for making apples sound both awesome and horrible. your first description, of course, they just sound amazing, but then when you talk about the grocery store apples, I'm just like, wow, what a turnoff.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens with grapes.
Yeah.
The grapes sitting at the store would make terrible wine.
Right. Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to eat the wine grapes because they would taste terrible.
I see.
They taste real so tannic. Very tannic, right. Yeah.
Are all of your apples grown for cider, Sharon?
That's a great question, actually. Our family's been growing fruit as eating apples for 141 years. It's our 141st harvest this year.
Wow.
In fact, great-great-grandfather used to load up a horse and wagon. It was a double team when they would travel for a day to do home deliveries on the Mendocino coast.
Wow.
And that was fresh eating apples for people. But this is the first year that we are not packing apples. That's what they call it, packing apples, where you put them in a box and really pretty for different grocery stores. And we're using all of the apples for cider. So it's bittersweet this year, actually, because we no longer do food. It's just become more expensive in this state to just actually be a smaller farmer, which is kind of how we would be scaled next to the really big guys up in the Northwest.
I see.
But happily, what the family has done for these 141 years for these generations is to pick apples that grow really well here, and they'll plant and test and taste, and that's why we have over 80 varieties of apples. Not all of them have big plantings, because some of them were okay but not great, and some of them were great, and the family would literally evaluate these morning, noon, and night, because one person, a farmer, one generation might plant an orchard on our farm maybe once or twice in their lifetime. So there were big decisions which varieties you wanted to plant.
Wow. Yeah. So did you guys have like a big party when that happens too? That's like a real rite of passage, it seems like. No.
No.
Yeah. All right, now go plant them.
Yeah.
You picked them.
We're farmers. We're just, just plant the thing and shut up, kid. Now, maybe your sales guys can help with this question, too, although I'm sure you could answer. I'm curious. You talk about the expense of being a small farmer and producing for food. My guess would be also that the cider market is growing significantly, just like craft beer. So maybe that has something to do with the decision as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're probably the oldest and most diverse heirloom orchard in California. And because of that long history of picking apples that do really well here, it's almost sort of an unheard of evaluation over time of varieties that are particularly tuned to this terroir. And so that's a really unique opportunity for us in terms of being able to express those flavors in a cider. And we've kind of really enjoying taking these different apples. Most people have never actually had a ripe apple. Let alone know that the apples taste different from different varieties, just like a wine grape would.
Sure.
So there's definitely growing interest in apples. There's also, happily, a growing interest in varietals and terroir and things beyond, I don't know, the latest pumpkin spice rendition or, you know, a flavored soda.
Yeah.
Evan and I actually had a pumpkin spice cider earlier today.
You did? Interesting.
How'd that go?
I don't comment on other people's ciders.
Okay.
It was funny. We had our weekly meeting, and I joked to the staff that we're preparing a pumpkin spice cider.
Okay.
And which the staff kind of was paused and
wanted to make sure that was a joke.
And we found out it's not a joke for everybody.
Yeah.
So okay. It's interesting.
Now, Sharon, I have kind of a strange question for you.
Yep.
Do you still like apples?
Okay.
I mean, I can just imagine the amount of apples you have eaten in your life.
Oh, yeah. It's really funny because I walk to work. I'm about 100 yards away from the cidery, and I walk through the apple orchard. And we have pears there also, and so the apples come ripe at different times. And it's kind of interesting. We have our Sierra Beauty apples now that are hanging on the trees or close to getting harvested. And so I go by every day, and I take a bite out of some apples, and sometimes I think that's ready to harvest. That one's good. And wow. Sometimes I think, nope, got to wait a little bit more.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And it's fun.
Is it harvest time like now?
Yeah.
It is right now. Okay. Wow. So you guys must be busy up there.
This is why I'm not in your studio.
Understood.
Yeah.
Absolutely forgiven. I'm sure you guys are very, very busy. Well, let's talk about one of the ciders in our glass. I believe the first one we have here is the McIntosh, which even I, and I'm a dummy, I recognize that name. That's like the most famous apple, right?
It's a computer.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah.
You can do quadratic equations on this apple.
I guess that actually makes it the second most famous apple nowadays.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell us about this cider and, of course, the apple.
Well, this is one of Ed's favorite ciders, so maybe I should let Ed talk to you about it.
Okay, yeah, you want to tell us, you know, what is this made up of?
You guys never said I'd actually have to talk.
Yeah, sorry, Ed.
This is the predominant apple is a McIntosh, so it's fermented to dry, and it's more tart, more dry than our other ciders.
Okay,
it's my favorite.
It is okay.
I had two for breakfast this morning.
And maybe this is obvious, but you named the cider after the apple. Not all cideries do that, right?
That's important. We're really looking at varietals, like in the wine industry.
Yeah.
And the advantage of having the Gowan Orchard, you know, at our beck and call, we have the available apples.
Right.
In fact, which Sharon didn't mention. The apples are actually picked, Sharon, correct me if I'm wrong, about 3 weeks later than they would if they were going to market.
Okay.
So Sharon and her husband, yeah. Don, are out there tasting apples, looking for tartness, looking for, different aspects that you couldn't get it unless you were controlling the orchard.
Okay. So if I'm hearing right, the two primary things out of a McIntosh apple are a significant tartness and how dry it ferments. Is that right?
Not quite.
Okay.
All apples, unlike a wine, wines will have unfermentable sugars.
Yeah.
But almost every apple is going to ferment to dryness.
Okay.
So what we're looking for in a McIntosh is as the fruit ripens, the sugar increases, and you've got a peak of sugar and you've got a peak of acid. And what you may want to do, depending on the variety, you may want to let that acid wear off a little bit more because it'll be too acidic. Or you may just want to harvest that like they do a lot of wine grapes where they have particular numbers that they're targeting. So what we look for in a McIntosh is apples are part of the rose family. So you can get some really nice floral characteristics from different varietals. Some of them are rose or jasmine or honeysuckle. And the McIntosh has a lovely mixed floral aromatics that a lot of people use to add florals to their other varietal ciders also. So that's really what we're trying to get is that floral aromatic. We have Macs are really popular back east. They're practically Canada's, they may even be Canada's national apple, but they're super popular. And what we want when people drink the McIntosh cider, if they're familiar with a McIntosh apple, is to recognize that flavor characteristic, not to overwrite it, just to express what that apple already has.
Got it.
And so that's our goal, not to essentially grow good fruit and then don't screw it up.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Which is, it's kind of a winemaking thing, too, right? Grow great fruit and then don't screw it up.
Don't screw it up, man.
Doesn't happen very often.
I see on the bottles you list the dates that it's tree ripened. Does that mean something to the average consumer that they can taste?
Well, Yeah, I would think so. I think people just like to know that, you know, when the apples were harvested, where they were harvested. In fact, you can see that trend happening even on a national level, where some national brands are starting to talk about their orchards and tree ripening things and that sort of a deal. But yeah, I think people want to know when those apples were harvested, and I don't think very many ciders out there can tell you.
Right. Also, yeah. We're limited. The federal regulations for ciders are pretty odd.
Really?
You think beers are bad. Ciders are even worse.
Really?
And so we can't say, you know, we can't say this is a vintage Gravenstein 18, you know, 2017.
Okay.
So we are able to say when we're harvesting, but we're not allowed to say the vintage.
Interesting.
That sounds like another wine lobby bullshit law.
Stupid.
Prohibition.
Okay.
So here's something funny. If you're over 7%, you cannot put a year on it. You can't even put a year on it if you don't use the word vintage, because wines own years on bottles made from fruit over 7%.
Wow.
Now, if you're under 7%, you're under the FDA rules, and you can say a whole lot of stuff that may or may not be true, which happens a lot. On lots of ciders under 7%. So you kind of get the worst of both worlds. We've been here since 1876, and we can't say Anderson Valley on the label over 7% because that's an American viticultural area, and they own that for the same reason as you can't put a vintage on it.
Wow.
But under 7%, we can say Anderson Valley. So it's weird.
It is strange.
Can you call the cider, let's say you make a 8% cider, can you just call it 2017, have that be the name?
Oh.
And get around to that right here.
Now it's a title, not a description.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. The name is Anderson Valley 2017.
Right.
We're limited in the size bottles we use. We're taxed different once it's over 8%.
Wow.
So the regulation is really interesting.
Now, so is when you say limited in the size bottle, what is the limit? How do you mean?
I'll let Sharon answer
if
that.
If you're over 8%, you have to be metric, and that includes growlers. So when we get to having a tasting room, in the next 140 years, we hope, we'll have we'll have to use metric growlers.
Wow.
Do you guys have, is there a cider lobby? You know, the Brewers Association does a lot to fight for breweries, and you know the wine people have it too, but is there the equivalent like that in your industry as well?
It's getting there. And nationally, there's a United Association of Cider Makers, and in the state of California, we have just launching California Cider Association, and I'm been serving on the board for that for a couple years.
Okay.
So you guys are obviously going to be targeting some of these weird, archaic nonsense laws to be able to grow your industry just like craft beer has been able to, I would imagine, right?
I would hope so. Yeah. Some of these are going to be a little tough to change. They did increase the carbonation. We got a federal law passed so we can add more carbonation, which we were limited before. That's European ciders have more carbonation, and now we can achieve those levels also. So that was kind of cool.
See, I was thinking the opposite. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking the opposite of JP there with the question, like that, you know, hopefully these things will change. And somebody
I'll fight you, dude.
I'm thinking that her family's been at this so long, and these things are so annoying even to me right now, that they're just over it. Like, I wouldn't even want to think about it anymore. It is what it is, and that's life.
There's also... these regulations don't protect the consumer. Because a lot of, especially the ciders coming from the big beer people, they're getting concentrated apples from China. Mm. And it's illegal to sell a Chinese apple in the United States because of the DDT. But you could boil it down and concentrate it and sell it.
Really?
So I always tell people, read the label.
Yeah.
And, so one company uses Eastern European apples. Another company, the rest of people are using Chinese apples. But the really scary thing is, if they mix it in California, you now have a California cider.
Okay.
So if you notice on our labels, we have real California cider.
Yeah.
And it's something that Sharon, through our organization, is saying, hey, if you're using apples from California, let's show the consumer.
Yeah.
Because right now the consumer doesn't know. Say, hey, this you know, this cider's $10, this one's $5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see, now here's some here's an example of why.
That shit pisses me off to no end. Like, I when I go to the store and I shop for vegetables, I want to shop local. I want to shop California. I want to shop USA.
Yeah.
That's because we live in a farming area.
It's pretty ridiculous to not have California fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, I know it's the season for these. Why, you know, so anyway, and I look very hard, and I my wife is irritated. She goes, there's asparagus, but it's it's Mexico. Nope. I mean, it's fine, but like avocado, but it's Peruvian. Nope, we don't eat avocado that bad.
Right.
And for a Californian to say no to avocado, I think is probably pretty hard to do. But that would bother me greatly if I was buying a XYZ cider and then I find out that it was Chinese apples of all things. No, I'm not trying to
do
that.
That's where you draw the line.
That's where I draw the line, son.
A red line.
Well, I'm
the thick red line in the shape of a star.
I'm glad you guys are here educating us about that, because I think that's really important that you put that on the label, Sharon.
Well, thank you. We did this. We've been talking with the association for quite a while, because there's a whole lot of big companies and some smaller companies that want to push the local thing, and the implication, they'll go to all kinds of efforts to imply either in the name or on the label, and just really cross that line about kind of just misleading people. Experts in the industry have said that they believe that 95% of the ciders produced in California or produced elsewhere but carrying a California name actually are not using California produce.
Wow.
It makes me mad.
And that it may be as little as 5% that are actually using California apples. And the problem with that is, if it continues, then, you know, it's cheaper to grow apples in Chile and China and Washington and Oregon than it is to grow and meet all of California's regulations, requirements, insurance, and land prices. So if that trend is allowed to continue, it's just going to continue to run out more and more California apple growers, which is unfortunate, because there's some gems of orchard in our state, and hopefully people becoming aware of that, they want to support local, they want to buy California, and they'll have a chance to vote with their dollars if that's what they like.
Right.
It seems like an easy thing to prove, because it takes a lot of apples to make cider.
It's a disturbingly large amount of apples.
And if a big corporation, a big cidery, is making apples and they're claiming California, it's like, okay, you just said that you're making enough cider that is more than the state of California actually grows.
Can produce.
So, something's up here.
But people don't know that, right? Like, you know that.
Yeah. No one would research that except the idiot
except
like Warren.
Beardy. Yeah.
Well, and now I just told you guys.
Now we know.
So,
see?
You're welcome.
Great. I'm going to do a lot with that information.
Yeah. Well, this cider tastes wonderful. And I think, you know, you said your goal was to showcase the fruit. You should recognize a McIntosh apple, and I think that's what it does. Yep. Although it's better than any McIntosh apple I've ever had. So I think you're also right that I've never eaten a ripe apple.
Yeah, I think
ever.
So. Yeah.
I like to think that the Gowan family is improving on Mother Nature.
Yes.
Like fermenting it and putting it in a bottle.
Well, let's be honest. Alcohol is improving on Mother Nature.
Yes.
as it always has.
The hard part about ciders and why I was excited to have these ciders on, because I caught them in the store a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, dude, these are rad. Because they're single varietals, but to get that essence of eating an apple, right? So when you bite into an apple, you get the skin, you get the tannins from that, you get the heart, the meat of the fruit, and you get that kind of finish down. If you can drink a cider that has all those kind of components blended together, that's a really well-made cider. It's not just here's juice.
Right.
There's an essence in there.
Complexity.
And I think these things have it. There's that tannin of like the skin, which I think is kind of the harder, like that tart kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the more hard things to put into a cider. I think anyone can get the meat of an apple in there.
How do you capture that, Sharon? The tannins from the skin?
You know, it's whatever Mother Nature puts in there.
Okay.
And so you're absolutely right that McIntosh has tannins. It's funny because people will tell you that apples, culinary apples, which technically these are culinary apples, shouldn't have tannins, but depending on where they grow, that matters most. And in this area, the ripening works enough so that they get tannins in them. So tannins usually collect around the skin and the core most typically. And the Macs, the way our Macs grow here, we have tannins.
The bottle's out.
So you guys, that's not, there's a cap on it.
Oh.
Wow.
What's wrong? I haven't even been drinking today.
Oh, man.
That is all good. I've had.
Let me see that bottle, James, please. Yeah.
So you guys don't do any adjustments post-fermentation with tannins or acids or anything? It's just whatever it ferments out to be, that's what it is?
We don't do any adjustments with tannins because tannins are really hard to marry well with the cider. Some people that just like the taste of wood, they want those tannins from the wood. Most people will use fairly neutral barrels if they want to do something like that. But you may have to adjust acids so you have a more protected fermentation. Otherwise, you could potentially get spoilage during a fermentation or simultaneous malolactic fermentation, which you don't want an uncontrolled malolactic in cider. So you may have to adjust with more acid depending on how ripe that apple became on the tree or if you did store it. And luckily, we ripen our apples enough so we never have too little acid. So... Or too much acid. We're pretty good on that area. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
And you mentioned...
Okay.
Since we're talking about the acid here, you had mentioned, you know, when you're tasting out there, you're tasting for the tartness and acidity. Mm-hmm. Are you only measuring the acidity by taste also, or are there instruments you use to do that? From the apple, I mean.
We usually, when we're... Our first priority is making sure that all the starch has converted, and so we'll do Brix readings, and then we'll taste. My husband, he grew up in a family where the family hobby as well as the avocation was deciding whether fruit and produce was ripe or not, and he probably has one of the best developed palates for apples in the state or further, especially by varietal. So he can pretty much taste an apple and tell you how close it is. So we'll do both. We'll taste. We'll test. We also, once the juice is pressed, we'll test TA.
Got it.
We'll add sulfites. So again, you don't get that malolactic fermentation. And we pitch yeast. We don't use ambient yeast. Because we want a more consistent fermentation. We've actually paired done a few hundred fermentations with single varietals paired with different yeasts because apples will have what they call flavor precursors that will pair differently with a different yeast, and they'll have some flavors that will override any yeast you put in there, and then some yeast will enhance one characteristic or another, like aromatics or a mouthfeel. And so we've done a lot of experiments by varietals to pick the one that we think pairs best and just expresses that fruit best.
Got it.
Have you done any or released any spontaneously fermented ciders?
sort of.
Have you intentionally released?
On accident,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
You know, I had some...
But, you know,
go ahead.
Actually, that's not true. That's not true. You know, it's actually fairly easy to make cider. We have the only apple show here in all of California. It's actually right next to us in Boonville. AV Brewing is in Boonville too, in case you ever heard of those guys.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So we have an apple show here, and the mascot for our apple show is Applejack.
Okay.
So yeah.
Like the drink.
He's been there for quite some time. Yes. There you go.
Okay.
So it's actually fairly easy to make hard cider. Our family's been producing what's called sweet cider for a very, very long time. You put a plastic jug of this fresh pressed sweet cider in your refrigerator, and a week or two later it starts to ferment. By the way, my mom's favorite drink, and that's all using ambient yeast. So yeah, we've done that for years, if not generations and generations here. How you get hard cider nice and easy.
Got it. I'm going to start tomorrow.
I think this Macintosh cider would be great with some wild yeast in it.
Yeah.
A little Brett in there.
I did a little experiment.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I did some partial sulfiting experiments that turned out really well. So that's why I was curious. Have you guys harvested any yeast from what's been on your apples grown at your place?
No. And it would be different orchard by orchard. The way an apple colors is different depending on what side of the tree it's on sometimes. You'll get some red macs and some more green macs. And the yeast, being able to control and repeat that would be the challenge. Hmm. There's a lot of yeast on this property with 141 years, and being able to determine which one actually ran the fermentation is going to be interesting. That'd be tough.
But that's great tasting room fodder right there, though.
Yeah.
You know, every year. I think it wouldn't matter if you can repeat it every year. You know what I mean?
I see, yeah.
Just a spontaneous, here's our spontaneously fermented
if that was
cider.
Just one line
desirable.
That they did.
Yeah. But just for tasting room, for people to come in.
You couldn't say what year it was from.
Right.
But. Yeah, that's a good point. Though I wonder if the apples are going to be different every year. Like this year, with that super hot stretch, our apples are our sugar content is probably going to be about 10% to 15% lower than the previous year. Oh. Same with wine grapes. They're talking about much lower sugars, and the theory is, and this is just one example of how a year can be different, but the theory is that it got so hot that the plants made the decision to ripen that fruit as quick as possible and save the plant because it was too hot for them to survive and do both.
Wow. Hmm.
And so you're going to get variations year to year just because the year was different by the fruit.
Sure.
Okay.
So that's for us, we kind of want to focus on that. But it would be fun to do and just see what happens. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of history of yeast here, and who knows? It might be an awesome variety that wants to develop and use. It would be fun.
Oh yeah, you're on a farm. Why not? Right? Just
or it could be a big fat waste of time.
It could be a total fat waste of time. That's absolutely correct.
Well, I got to get us to a break. We do have some more cider to try. When we come back, I want to try the 1876, which I hear has a very interesting story. But I got to take a quick commercial break, if you can hang in there, Sharon.
All right.
And speaking of yeast, everybody, we'll let you know a little more about White Labs. White Labs recently added two new yeast strains to the vault, their collection of specialty one-of-a-kind strains. Now homebrewers are able to pre-order WLP-066, the London Fog Ale Yeast, and WLP-073, Artisanal Country Ale Yeast, by visiting whitelabs.com/thevault. Once each strain reaches 150 orders, White Labs will release the yeast and ship it directly to your doorstep. Good news for pro brewers, too. If you want access to any vault strains for your next brew day, just place a minimum order of 1.5 liters. So go check it out. If you're all about the haze craze, WLP-066 London Fog Ale Yeast is a great choice for those hazy New England IPAs that JP loves so much. And the 073 Artisanal Country Ale Yeast is perfect for your next beer de garde or other farmhouse style. So don't wait, homebrewers. Go check it out at whitelabs.com/thevault. We will be back in just a couple minutes. Got a couple commercial words for you to listen to, and then we'll be back with Gowan Cider. You can learn all about the 1876. Hang in there. It's The Session.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high-temperature March pump, and either a top-tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft line.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers four levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Hi, this is Tyler from Libertine Brewing Company in the Central Coast of California. You're listening to Brewing Network, The Session.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
But that's what's good about it, is that it sucks, right?
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We are speaking with Gowan's Heirloom Ciders. We got Sharon Gowan on the line with us, and we got some more of this great cider to get through. Sharon, I have a question about your family. You say it's a sixth generation.
Sure.
Did any of the kids, like, leave the family business, and were they shunned?
Yeah. Actually, the surprising part is that anybody stayed through those six generations.
Okay. Right. So, lucky Sharon. She's sticking it out.
Fine, Granddad. I'll stay.
Right. Well, but I really am curious about that for your part. You know, you grew up there on the farm, and did you just know, hey, this is always what I want to do, too?
Well, confession time, I actually am an in-law or an outlaw.
Okay.
My husband and I married about 30 years ago, and he's not the interviewee type.
I see.
He's got the Superman palette.
Got it. Okay.
He's putting the apples to bed right now. He can't.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to make sure go ahead.
He's here in case I need to say something differently. He's just not talking.
Wow.
Fact checking.
Yeah.
Hi, Don.
Just sitting back there, tapping his fingers on the desk, yeah, staring at poor Sharon. Okay. Well, I want to make sure we get through these ciders to talk about them with you. We have the 1876 in our glass. Who wants to tell us about this cider? You want Ed? Well, let's go Evan. We haven't heard from Evan yet.
Because I'll start doing it.
Yeah.
Fine if you would like
to. Tell us all about it, will you?
Well, it's actually my favorite one out of all of them. It's just a really lovely balance for me. I like the blend. It is the only blend. And I feel, I've been to the farm once, but I do feel like Sharon and Don did a good job of capturing the essence of all of their heirloom apples.
Got it.
Sharon, how many apples are in this blend? Are we allowed to know that?
Yeah. We use 13 selected varietals, and we use them in particular percentages here.
Really, it's really lovely for me personally. I find it having a good fruit forward approach, but it does have a subtle earthy tone and lingering pleasant bitterness throughout, and then it just finishes dry. And for me, it's just got enough complexity where I keep coming back.
Got it.
Yeah. They're also, every varietal is fermented separately with a complementary yeast.
Okay.
And then Sharon puts her mad scientist jacket on, and then she does the blending.
I'm glad you said that, because I had the question how do you even pick the 13 varietals to go in, but you're fermenting all of them separately and then doing a winemaker would do. Then you're blending them together afterward.
Right. Yeah.
I prefer
you've ever been in.
Ed saying he prefers a mad scientist over winemaker or cider maker.
What size batches?
If you've ever been...
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
I was just going to say, Evan was talking about the aromatics and the flavor, and if you've ever been in an orchard, like in late October, and you've got in the late afternoon, you've got some apples that have dropped on the ground, you've got apples on the tree, and this cider tastes and smells like that orchard smells.
Got it.
It really does.
It's really nice. I like this one, too.
Like a sweeter, I don't say more overripe, but because it sounds bad, but mature?
Fruit forward,
yeah.
That's how I like to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good description.
I woke up in
my
orchard.
One.
At the end of October.
Did you go to sleep in that orchard?
Yeah.
He was born.
My birthday's right around then.
He grew from the earth.
God, I want to know that story. Just not now, but man, okay. I want to know how that happened. So you blend it afterward, and are you looking to make it taste the same as the last time you blended it every time? Is that how you're doing your blend?
We kind of want it to be within. We don't want it to taste like a Macintosh, but we want it to. Yeah. Whatever those varietals produce that year is how it's going to taste.
Once again,
and
Mother Nature.
We keep the percentages the same, and that's how it is.
Hmm. All right. Well, that makes sense. Keeps it easy. I really like that one too. What's the next one that we have here, guys? Is that
Gravenstein?
Gravenstein, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an apple varietal as well. Okay,
yes.
So now we're back to a single varietal cider.
So those little small fuckers, right?
No, no, you can get them in the store.
No, they're big and green.
Oh, they're big. Oh, I thought they were the small.
All right, no,
have you not been in like the grocery store in that fruit section?
They're getting rare. They were the Northern California apple.
Mm-hmm.
They started out in Denmark, brought over, got into Russia, and they were actually the first Gravenstein apple trees were produced in Fort Ross, so the Russian colony here.
Okay,
and became the apple in the. In this previous century, and then almost, not extinct, but it became, almost became economically extinct.
Mm.
And Sonoma and Mendocino County are very proud of their Gravenstein apples.
Got it.
And they have an apple fair, and it's like the apple.
Okay.
If you say something bad about a Gravenstein apple in certain counties, they beat you up.
I see. It's by law.
It's by law.
And then you wake up in an orchard.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. It tastes like a green apple.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's got that really high in tannic acid. It's really, really nice.
Yeah,
okay.
I really
big
like
mouth
this one.
Right,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to like the more acidic and tart apples.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it still has a very perfumey, and it could be a part of the yeast that you guys are pairing it with, perfumey and wine-like kind of grapey fruit ester also.
The apples can, when you ferment an apple, there's a flavor that is produced only from fermenting apples, and they've termed this cidery. And they, but apples can also produce a wine-like aromatic and flavor that you would get from wine grapes, and they can produce them separately or together. So if you're going, this tastes like wine, you might be picking up on that. And a lot of people, we've had sommeliers who their favorite out of our lineup was a Gravenstein, and they felt that it was, you know, maybe they were more, they liked the wine quality to it. So, yeah, I think that's really reasonable.
They're all so good.
Yeah.
This one, too, we don't serve wine here at our bar that we're broadcasting from. Mm. We're not allowed to by law. So we get people come in ask all the time, and we usually offer them a cider instead.
Yeah.
And this one would be a great one to offer. Because sometimes, to be honest, we're offering that, and we'll say, you know, it's wine-like, and sometimes they're really not. It's not wine-like.
No.
But this one,
it's just light body and light in color, like a white wine, and that's about where you can draw.
But this one, I could say with more honesty, actually we have a cider that's very wine-like and has some of those characteristics that Beardy was talking about.
Well, it's very fortunate that your beer buyer has us on tap here quite a bit.
Okay, good. So. I'm glad. We always keep at least one, usually two ciders on tap. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we rotate everything. So he must also really like your stuff if he's keeping you on quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
Cool.
Now, do you guys have a lot of tap accounts? What is your sales bottles to draft?
We're mostly bottles.
Okay.
But what I'm really proud to say, many of your listeners, when they go to the serious beer bars in the Bay Area, they'll have us on tap.
Okay.
We, for four or five bars, we actually have permanent handles, which is really unheard of for a cider.
Yeah.
And then we're in rotation literally everywhere.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Yeah, that is rare for a cider. You do see some of the big guys with the permanent tap handles, and I don't know if they're paying for that or whatever's happening. But, you don't often see a small one with a permanent.
Well, what happened, as you said, you don't have a wine license, so you have to have something for the non-drinker, the non-beer drinker. So a lot of people just been buying an inexpensive, popular cider. And as the consumer gets more aware of what we have, they're going for the better ciders. And there's some remarkable stuff being produced nowadays.
Yeah,
and absolutely. We're just excited that we're in that mix.
Do you think that, and Sharon, maybe you could help with this too, you know, was cider always this good and consumers just didn't know, or is cider getting better like craft beer is getting better?
Well, good question.
What do you think, Sharon?
I don't think there's any question that cider, especially from the smaller craft producers, is going to continue to improve.
Okay.
And I mean, was cider always as good? Cider was actually probably the first American drink. There was a saying that water's for bathing, cider's for drinking, because water wasn't reliably safe, and this is a way of purifying water for early settlers here.
Right.
So it had a long tradition. You know, back then, people probably weren't doing much back sweetening. It was really, they were drinking it dry. But it was fairly small back east. You know, you wouldn't get a lot of sugars in your apple anyway, so they were talking about a 3 or 4, maybe a 5% drink. Out here, a lot of our apples will get 5, 6, 7, 8, even 9%.
Wow.
So back then, back east, low drink, and it was easy to keep it, and it was a safe drink.
Sure.
So, but now that we're having this renaissance of cider, yeah, there's a lot of people getting into making cider, and I think that they're learning along the way, and things will improve. We were at a curated cider festival at the Culinary Institute of America in Napa at Copia, and they had some amazing ciders, almost entirely California-grown, a few from out of state, and all really small producers and just fantastic.
Wow.
And then you're going to get the people that are looking to build a brand to sell it, and they're going for the cider soda pop or the six-pack cider kind of approach. We're using the least expensive juice, has no flavor, then they're adding some, you know, cherry or spice or something to it to kind of create that more soda type flavored manipulated cider approach. And there's a lot of people that will make that, you know, will make that because they're looking to get in on the mass market appeal too. And some of those are finding their way as well.
Yeah, I've been to some beer festivals. You can usually find a couple cideries at them. And I've had some really bad cider.
Yeah.
And for, you know, to listen to you, and we've had other cideries on here, you know, really talk about how easy it is to make it. And I know you're referring to the process, right? Like, it does seem astonishing how bad some of it can be.
Yeah.
And so maybe the process is easy, but the technique is not, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of ciders on the market are way too dry, and there's no body in them. There's no meat. It's just one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the ones that Sharon's talking about, too, that are more soda-like because they've put other additives in there.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's always disappointing.
I find the opposite.
Because I'm like, it's an apple, damn it. Just, you know.
Yeah, right. How hard can it be?
Yay!
Yeah, it's an apple. To me, it's not easy to get to have take the apple growing on the tree and get into the glass and have it still taste the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and a lot of the big ones and commercially available ciders, to me, they try to cut corners, whether it's because they have to or whether profit or just facility dictate that. And you end up with artificial flavors or cooked apple flavors and oxidized apples. Mm-hmm. And to me, I find the opposite, where a lot of the commercially available cider I get is just too sweet.
Mm.
And I just can't even finish in a half-ounce pour that they give me to sample.
Got it.
And so I enjoy when there's actually tannins and acidity in the cider that you can, and so you can actually get through a glass.
Yeah.
And these are quite enjoyable. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. By the way, cider works really well for breakfast, and that's how the French like their cider a lot of times.
Really?
So cider and pancakes or crepes and sausages, strawberries, it's delicious. Try it for breakfast.
Sharon, listen to me. I do not need another reason to drink in my life.
Drink in the morning?
Alarm clock.
I'm fading fast.
Speaking from experience, cider is very good for breakfast.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
How long have you guys been commercially producing hard cider?
From the beginning? 3 years now.
How many?
3. We've been experimenting and stuff for longer, about 5 years with all the different varieties. But we've got our license 3 years ago.
I see.
Wow. And now 100% of the apples grown go into the cidery? Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't realize that. That's a real fast change.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a good, hopefully it's the beginning of a chapter for the next 140 years for this family farm, and we're in business that much longer making cider.
I agree. Well, I'll help you with my new marketing slogan that I just gave you. You know, Gowan's Heirloom Cider. It's an apple, damn it. T-shirts, bumper stickers,
breakfast.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. Let's try it.
I like it.
What's our next one that we're trying here?
Sierra now? Beauty.
The Sierra. Now, this is the one that I think has the interesting story.
This is the last one we got, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So who wants to tell? Sierra Beauty, is that the varietal? That's what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Should I start? One of Sharon's family's great-grandfather was loading up the wagon with apples heading to the foothills, and he found a wild apple tree. And what's interesting about apples, you just can't grow apples from seed. You have rootstock. You have, the delicious apple you're eating now will not produce the same apple.
Okay.
But he found this apple called Sierra Beauty, and he named it Sierra Beauty. He took some skins, the dried sticks, and started growing this apple.
Okay.
And it became very successful. And then over the years, it became, I'm using parentheses now, economically extinct.
Okay.
And then if you look on Wikipedia, somebody discovered it in the Gowan's family orchard. And even though they were selling this since World War I every year, year after year, it was never extinct with the Gowan farm.
Wow.
So it's a discovered apple that's been super popular. And it's Gowan's cider is ground zero. And
wow.
Before I worked for Gowan's, I had a cider here. That was from the Northern California, and it was Johnson Apples and Sierra Beauty. I fell in love with it.
Okay.
And now Sharon is developing her own cider. So the cider you're having is actually a still cider.
Okay.
So there is some natural carbonation, but it's super sophisticated. It's similar to Italian restaurants. They're serving it for like $12 for a little aperitif glass.
Wow.
Super cold. But it's
okay.
It's super complex. I don't have the vocabulary to describe it.
Way of saying it is, you were talking about our wine, the Gravenstein being like wine.
Yeah.
This is way.
Even more.
Wine.
Yeah.
It's what, one of four apples, Sharon, indigenous to California on top of that?
Okay.
It's like a dessert wine, almost like a Tokai or something like that.
Yeah,
but without the hay kind of thing. It's just very...
It still has that nice...
Very intense,
subtle dry finish, though, that I think just makes me keep coming back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Sharon, are you the only farm growing it now, or you guys were just ground zero?
We're not the only farm growing it now. When the great-great-grandpa came back from the Sierra foothills and brought a tree back from there, the tree had already been grafted, and so he bare root is how those are transferred at that time in their life. So in 1906, that's when we planted our first Sierra Beauty tree here. And back in the day, there's no refrigeration, so what's important for an apple then is that when you dry it, it has good flavor. And in the World Wars, apples were shipped dried to the troops. So until we got a lot of refrigeration and that food system started to develop, all the apples were dried past the time when they could be kept. So the Sierra Beauty was popular because it could be dried and had great flavor dried. It was a great baking apple. It was a good eating apple. It was a good juice apple. And it also was a keeper. So it could keep a long time without refrigeration. So it was really popular back in the day. And we kept expanding the plantings that we had. As things have it, part of the property is sold here or there. So there were some plantings that went to others as they came on and purchased property up here in this area in the last century. But what we discovered, researchers approached us in the 1980s and said that they'd been searching for the Sierra Beauty apple for a decade.
Wow.
And that they said that it was virtually extinct except for what the plantings at Gowan's had done. We released the fine wood now so that a lot of people can go out to a nursery and purchase a Sierra Beauty tree. And every so often we go out to an event and there's sort of an informal club of people who have backyard deer beauty trees now, and they've all come from Gowan. So
nice.
kind of a cool story.
That's really cool.
Your great-grandfather living on.
Yeah.
I like that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
What I want to do, Justin, is I want to take our incarnation, our band, Four Friends and Sam, and I want to turn it into like some sort of folk, American folk project.
Yeah.
And write a song about this story.
About the
man who goes into the wilderness and removes a tree from the ground, hauls it over one shoulder, you know, roots just dripping earth, and drags it back and stakes his claim in the family plot, Justin!
Yes.
I want to do that. That's how I hear it in my mind.
What was Grandpa's name? I think we have to start with that.
Grandpa.
Just Grandpa.
Grandpa. He was born Grandpa.
Just Grandpa.
Little Grandpa was born, and
so you're gonna like this, since you're thinking about doing some sort of an album. There is a young folk singer, she's in her 30s, called Gwyneth, and Gwyneth has an album just released this year called Cider. She's out of Mendocino County in Fort Bragg and visited our farm as a young girl. And she's so if you ever want to check out Gwyneth's album called Spider, it's pretty cool. And it'll be a start to your next album when you come out with it.
There we go.
Warren, give them the bottle opener. You fucking monkey.
All kinds of behind-the-scenes happening
and
here, too, Sharon.
There's
actually, we were very quiet.
Lots of pointing to the pile of stuff over here. I'm supposed to know which thing they're pointing at.
You handed me three fucking things.
I was working my way to the bottle opener.
Oh, I'm pointing right at it.
I'm sure you were.
And that bottle opener was used to open up an 1876 heirloom apple.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Was that a new one? Did we get that one?
We had
that. We did that one. Okay.
That was
the second one.
We're reviewing that one.
Yeah. Well, these are all wonderful. I highly recommend that people should go and check it out in your stores or local bars. You can go to GowanOrchards.com and read all about Gowan's cider and apples. Some good stories about the place on there. And it looks like you can probably find out where you can get these. You can learn about heirloom apples and the orchards and everything. So do you guys, you have a tasting room, or you were saying not quite yet?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet, but we do have a beautiful, beautiful
not quite yet. We're still working on all the other aspects. But if they want to check out the cider site, that's Gowan's Heirloom Cider. And when we start to get a tasting room plan going, then we'll be announcing it in both of those sites.
Got it.
So,
okay.
That'll be fun. Then you guys will have to come up and help us celebrate.
Yeah. We would love to.
I want to go for harvest right now. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. We need you.
They need your help.
It's not done yet.
Late October in the orchards?
Yeah. No.
Face down?
I'll be there in January.
I missed it.
Darn it. Yeah.
Well, you know, January 17th would be a good time to come, because I think we're going to try and have a wassail. You know what a wassail is?
I do not.
Okay. So not only is it a drink and part of Christmas songs that you've heard, but it's also an event that happens in the orchard in the dead of winter when you go out and drink and sing to the trees so they'll produce a better harvest.
Oh.
I'm kind of into that.
I'm totally into that.
Let's make this song about Grandpa. I'll bring my acoustic bass, and you can do whatever you do, and we'll just, it'll be amazing.
That's drinking and singing doesn't get much better than that.
No, I could get behind it.
Could you do the show remotely?
Yeah.
We could. Yeah. Well, we could do a recording.
That's really a segment.
Yeah. We could probably do a good segment.
I don't mix my singing with my radio.
Or your orchards.
Yeah, or my... Right.
He doesn't wake up in the orchard.
He doesn't cross-pollinate.
Okay, well, Sharon, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
Ed and Evan, wonderful to have you guys here. Thanks for bringing all this down to share with us.
Thanks for having us.
As you know, we can't really do a good show without tasting it, so I appreciate you guys bringing this down here.
Our pleasure.
Folks, check it out. Real Cider.
Real California cider.
Real California cider.
Even more important.
Northern California cider.
One last question I didn't get answered, Sharon. Do you know where you rank on, like, the oldest? I guess you're a newer cidery, so it wouldn't be the oldest cidery in America.
The oldest,
huh?
Apple oldest orchard. Yeah, which is still pretty rad.
That, from 1876, so are you like in a ranking somewhere?
I don't know that they do that. Okay. My guess is in terms of heirloom varietals, we're probably one of the oldest in the country.
Got it.
I can answer this. As a sales manager, we rank number one.
Okay, yeah. Because you can't prove otherwise.
Yes. 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 Value.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my Who salesman, Evan, is 6'12", and he'll stand behind
6'11", all right.
You didn't ask if she speaks Boon.
Bootling,
I think is what it is. Yeah.
Did you say a little bit, Sharon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, yeah. Not as much as you like, but I do harp in a bit of boot.
Okay.
I do cheapen the dick trickle. Put Don on. I'm sure you can do it well.
Very nice.
Hey, Don. I mean, calling you out
for your question.
Well, you know why bootling was developed, right?
I did know at one time. Tell us again.
Because the drunk people. I don't know.
Well, it's because our farm used to grow hops here also, actually.
Okay.
And so when people were out harvesting, whether it was hops or whatever else, the gentlemen would like to talk about the ladies without the ladies knowing about it. So they invented bootling.
I gotcha.
Out of necessity. See, talking about women in code is like just inherent in male genes, man.
Yeah.
At Starbucks, we would have codes too, and it's just that's what you do, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you have the window out on the bar currently.
Yeah, the studio window is to distract us. Yes. Okay, Sharon. Thanks again for being on the program. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, guys.
You're welcome. And good
luck. Have a nice night.
We will. You too.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Gowan's Heirloom Ciders. Really good stuff. Believe me. You're going to want to go check it out.
Hey, guys. I'm drunk.
Yay. Already?
Wow.
Yeah. How much shit did you buy on Target?
That's why God invented Uber.
Yeah.
That's right.
Condom.
I got a couple more bottles if you want one.
She does.
Yeah, oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah. Bevo's gonna, she's giggling
she's
back
gonna
there.
Get real drunk.
I'm just happy.
I like you guys.
You gave me a bottle of Macintosh already.
Really good stuff there. All right. What do I got to do here before the break? I got to do something.
Probably got to read something, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to drink some beers.
All right. Go to beersmith.com if you want to work on your cider recipes, your home brewing recipes, all of that stuff. Beersmith.com. It's the Beersmith brewing software, and it's the best on the market. You get a free 21-day trial, so you're going to want to go check it out because you don't have to take my word for it. And my word's shit, to be honest. So get your free 21-day trial over at beersmith.com. All right. We are going to take ourselves a break. Thank you again, guys, for being in here.
Thank you.
Well, we come back. We're going to try some of JP's homebrew and some of Beardy's pro brew.
Wow, it's a pro off.
I was not warned.
So hang in there. It's the session, and we'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperatures Armature Rest Mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II Work Pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at WilliamsBrewing.com to bruise their vast selection.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. At the end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah.
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're freaking awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in four pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Army, have you heard the latest at HopTech? Since HopTech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at HopTech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American meat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers four levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zanishev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at HereticBrewing.com.
Brewcasters are back.
It ain't 401 beer.
Whatever.
Yeah, welcome back to the show.
Whatever.
Thank you to Gowan's Heirloom Ciders for hanging out with us, bringing us such great liquid in our glass.
Yeah.
That was fun. Sharon's cool.
Yeah, for sure, man. I get the impression that she's used to putting up with bullshit, and so she kind of hung out pretty easily with us. You know what I mean?
She did roll with it pretty well.
She had a sense of humor, which is also always nice to interact with.
Decades of farm bullshit.
I know, right? Can you imagine just farming? Shut up and plow the field or whatever. I don't know what happens.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Farm humor.
So how did you end up waking up in in an orchard?
Thanks, Pat.
Did you just pass out there, or is there more to it? Were you alone, and did you have pants on when you woke up?
There's a lot of questions, man. Didn't start out alone.
Oh. Ended up alone.
I ended up with pants on still, but it was like, wake up and there's a lot of trees and no friends and shit.
A lot of trees and no friends.
Did you go to sleep in an orchard, or did you just wake up in an orchard?
Right.
I woke up in the orchard. It was not just like, oh, let's go sleep in the orchard.
Where did you go to sleep?
Anything like that. It was like, oh, hey, we can just go drink here and nobody will bother us too much.
Okay.
And then more people joined, and then less people joined, and then next thing I know, it's like,
Next thing, I didn't
have handlers.
Next thing you know, no one is around. Other people joined, joined, and then suddenly I was alone.
The sun's up, no one's around.
You wake up and you wake up scared, and then you look around, there's just trees and no friends, and you start wandering around, and you find friends passed out here and there near other trees.
did it look like a bomb went off amongst your friends?
It looked like alien gas had come through and just took out everybody.
Wow. Sorry about that.
Okay.
It was... I haven't talked about that one in a while. And we all woke up with all our limbs.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe a little coyote shit in your chest, but no works for the wear.
If you're missing a limb, there's plenty of trees
when
around.
When you wake up in a really fucking strange place, like I did not expect, like, waking up next to bark.
Right. That is strange.
And you're just... That holy fuck.
Yeah.
Moment.
I don't know where I'm at half the time when I wake up in a bed.
Oh, I wake up sometimes we're partying and we're just someplace where we're supposed to be, but in a hotel room, and I wake up and then I freak for like a half a second.
Right.
Where the fuck am I? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
You don't do that when you're waking up and you're scratching bark on your face and stuff. And like,
so it was more than half a second?
Oh, yeah.
Half a day.
There was a few minutes. I was like, okay, my head hurts. Wake up, look around.
Yeah.
There's fucking trees, man.
There wasn't even a car nearby.
No cars. There was nothing, man.
Trees don't drive, Warren. No need for cars.
Did the farmers know you guys were there? Were you ever found?
No, I woke up before that. Ever seen anybody in an orchard?
No. Well, got plowed
no
under.
One goes in an orchard.
Nobody goes into the orchard.
That's a good point. Okay. Let's do Adam and Eve real quick.
All right.
Oh, right now? Yeah, okay. With some oats.
Both of them?
Adam and Eve's determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they're backing up that promise. So check this out. You can go to adamandeve.com right now, and you'll get 50% off just about any item when you enter offer code BNARMY at checkout. And that's a good deal in and of itself, but backed by popular demand and for a limited time only, you'll also get a free Big O kit. And who doesn't love the Big O? Adam and Eve's Big O kit includes exclusive Climax gel, a mini vibrator, so now you've got a new way to do the things you do, and who wouldn't love that? So get over to AdamEve.com, plus you're going to get your entire order shipped to you for free. AdamEve.com, use coupon code BNARMY, B-N-A-R-M-Y, and you can find cool stuff over there, just like the boys from our feedback did today.
That's right.
Pretty cool site, actually.
Maybe they should sell a dildo tap. That way there's no assembly required.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Put that on the production line. All right, so we got some more beer to try in front of us. Are we doing it in the order it has been placed? Is that what you guys decided, JP? You wanted your beer to go last?
Yeah, I think mine should go last because of the smoke.
Okay, because of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what are we starting with? Beardy's Kolsch.
Yes.
So this is a Loma Brewing Company Kolsch?
Yeah, they call it happening? War and Peace.
Which you hate that name, don't you? But I really like it.
Yeah,
and I hate beer puns or any kind of pun. But that one, I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't like it partially for the fact that I'm sure everybody sitting at the bar thinks that I named it after myself.
I see. So
it is very, and yeah, something you would
not
do.
Something well, I would do.
Most of the people in the bar don't know that your name's Warren.
Well, the bartenders tell them.
Yeah.
Right. And
it's named after our brewer.
Yeah. War and Peace, little parentheses, he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when people order it, I think people are saying my name. And so I'm always looking around thinking someone's trying to get my attention.
Why?
Also.
Who calls you Warren?
I think they call the beer Warren. I have a Warren.
The people at my other work call me Warren.
Why?
It's weird when they call me Beardy. Sometimes they do, and it doesn't feel right.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird.
Plus, how annoying are you to them? Like, they come up with this great name. They totally want it. And I know that you bitched like a little bitch the whole time about how you didn't like the name. And
yeah, bitch.
They were probably super annoyed with you.
I maybe said it twice and then stopped.
And then let it be.
Yeah.
Who put the Warren?
Do you not name the beers?
I'm responsible for most of the names. There's probably been about four or five that have come from elsewhere.
Okay.
And I think we're up to, yeah. Yeah. This is the only one that we keep on the menu.
What's your favorite name that you've come up with?
Oh, geez.
Beardy.
Probably, one that has yet to been applied to a beer. So Gary Laser Eyes is one of my favorites that's on my idea board.
His favorite is the one that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but Middle Out, which is the Vienna Lager, is probably my favorite that's been released.
Okay.
It's a Silicon Valley reference.
Got it.
Because okay. Vienna malt is Wiener.
Yeah.
It's a dick joke. Yeah, real creative.
That's a dick joke.
Yeah.
All right. So
this is the Kolsch.
This is the latest edition of your Kolsch.
Yes.
What have you changed?
So I've been messing with it over the last now about year, trying to get the recipe where I want it. And essentially, I think this is actually pretty close.
Okay.
The closest it's been by far. And depending on how it ages, it might be the final version.
How old is it now? Fresh out of the tank or what?
Yeah, right now it got transferred last week. Okay. So it just finally, the last little bit of haze fell out of it. And so it's not on tap yet. We have a couple more kegs left of the previous batch to go through.
Yeah.
But it's less than a week old right now.
You know, you'd probably sell more if you didn't let it clear.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I'd have a whole other crowd that I don't want in my bar. So
right.
They can go somewhere else.
What do you think, Doc?
Really?
Yeah. Why, you didn't try it yet?
I'm trying to warm it up.
Okay. So you don't like it?
No.
You don't like it at all?
No.
What don't you like about it?
No!
He's giving me every iteration all the way up, and I like the one before this better.
Okay.
And the one before that was close, but yeah.
And warmer.
What do you not like about it?
The ending.
The bitterness?
Yeah, the happy ending.
It wasn't happy.
I was thinking the same thing,
too
actually.
Bitter.
It's too bitter
it's too
at
bitter.
The end.
Well, yeah. So, asterisk.
That's where you're saying that you're hoping
exactly.
It ages a little better.
Well, right.
There's yeah.
the last thing that I would tweak, because what I've been tweaking mainly over the course of the year is the fermentation temperature.
Okay.
Because White Labs, which this is 029 from White Labs, recommends, I believe their window is 69 to 65 degrees.
Sex number.
Yeah,
69.
Right.
That's the sex number.
And I've always heard horror stories from a production side of Kolsch brewers worried about sulfur production, and it just makes too much that it won't clean up, and you end up with a sulfur bomb. And so I started on what I was thinking was warm at like 63 degrees doing primary fermentation, which is 2 degrees below White Labs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been stepping it down gradually. And this was actually primary fermented at 58.
Okay.
And I knock out 2 degrees lower. So knock out at 68,
wow.
Pitch. And I actually pitch the equivalent of a 40-barrel batch into 10 barrels.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to cut back the yeast character because it's just too estery and too strong of a yeast character.
Hmm.
And so this is what that yeast doing a 40-barrel pitch into 10 barrels
wow.
at knockout 56 primary at 58, and this is the most balanced the yeast character with all the other ingredients has been to date, and so now I agree that the bitterness needs to be toned down just a smidge mm-hmm. on the next batch, and then I think it's perfect.
I still like the beer, by the way. I don't mind the bitterness myself. I just think it's a little out of style.
Yeah, and so the bitterness hasn't changed in the entire year that we've been doing it. So before,
it's perceived,
exactly, it's the perceived bitterness. Before the amount of yeast character and everything was hiding that.
Okay,
and so now that you take that away or reduce it, it becomes way more prominent.
Okay,
so you're kind of just constantly balancing the other variables.
Yeah,
the amount of people that walk in here thinking it's a bathroom. There's a goddamn window.
And an employees only sign on the door.
Right.
I know the window thing.
The window should
always,
give it away.
People here at the Hop Grenade. We have a big. If you've never been in the Hop Grenade, we have a big window into the studio, right in the bar. And yeah, people walk in all the time thinking it's a bathroom, which would make sense if there wasn't a giant window, a red on air sign, and an employees only sign
And the bathroom's on the total opposite end.
Yeah.
I like the beer too. I do think that the malt is. There's like it's too complex of a malt flavor for this style, in my personal opinion. Okay. I think it's a little too, heavy, sweet maybe, and maybe it's that lower temperature.
Yeah, it could be that, but
I don't know.
Well, it's
coming through.
It's already a good beer. Period. It's like there's no off flavor.
It's an 8 out of 10.
We're tearing apart his cult.
Yeah. Which I love doing.
The one I had before this was better.
Okay.
And if I hadn't had that, it might be different, but yeah.
And he might be right that in 4 weeks, maybe it'll be back to better.
Right, exactly. I was trying to warm it up so I can get more coming out of it. What I got out of it is what JP said, is that the malt comes through like unlager-like. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And how dare you?
Almost like a golden strong. Not in that way that you think that it's a golden strong, but it's that kind of like overpowering. Layering
a lot of malt
flavor. Yeah, it's very like dense malt flavor wise, which is different than last time.
Yeah.
Well, end you get the bitterness, which is the first thing I got, and then
it actually sucks.
It doesn't suck.
Let's be honest.
The more I think about it, the more I don't like it.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't suck, but
I
liked it better before.
It doesn't blow either.
Okay.
Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure that the malt bill is essentially 80% Weirmann pills. No, it's more than that.
I'm pretty sure that the malt bill is 80% Weirmann pills.
Yes, I didn't finish.
It's 2017.
Yeah, it's 8... 8 sacks of Weirmann pills, 1 sack Vienna, 1 sack white wheat for 10 barrels.
Oh, that's racist.
well, the Germans put it on there. It wasn't me.
Right.
And so it's pretty simple, but I definitely understand that reducing the yeast character makes all of that come right to the forefront, whereas the warmer temperature, the yeast character, to me, kind of covered that up.
Yeah, you get some of those esters to maybe brighten and take over from that malt layer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to like speak about an abstract thing, but in definite terms, and it's hard. But if that makes any sense, kind of like a brighter ester kind of pushing over that.
And that's what I've always kind
it's
of
a cool
in my reading have understood that Kolsch is way more lager-like than ale-like in Cologne than here in the U.S.
Is that why you were trying to slam the temp down?
That's why I was trying to get it more like... And we actually get a surprising amount of Germans coming through the brew pub.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I run into one of them, I give them a sample of Kolsch and be like, tell me how this compares to what you would get in Cologne.
Mm-hmm. And they say, will you leave me the fuck alone? I'm just trying to have a beer here.
Yeah. Where's the bathroom? I have these tanks for the bathroom.
Mr. Voss. Sprachen Englisch nicht.
And... The theme is that it's too estery.
Yeah, it's that.
And so to get it more lager. And this beer is lagered in the traditional sense. It actually takes 6 weeks from brew date to get to the glass, and it's lagered at 29 degrees for almost 3 weeks.
So what are you going to... So if lowering the temperature is kind of bringing out more of this malt character, are you going to leave that? Are you okay with it? Or are you going to maybe take down some of the body malt, maybe some of the wheat? I don't know. No, not the wheat. Maybe.
I mean, the first thing I'm going to do for the next batch would be reduce the bitterness a little bit.
Yeah.
The malt to me didn't jump out as that much of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
At least currently, we'll see if they take some of the bitterness and hop character away because it only gets a 60-minute hop addition and that's it.
Okay.
So if that reduces a bit of the Hallertau flavor, that might make the malt even more of an issue, and I might mess with it then.
But an issue is how it's pronounced.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Issue.
All right, we're going to be here till fucking Friday. Well, we got three more beers to
get
through.
Let's take another break, and when we come back...
Yeah. Next beer is our Oktoberfest.
Okay.
So it just came out on the 16th, first day of Oktoberfest.
She's 16.
It's the second one I've ever done.
Okay.
And
tastes like it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I basically made... My goal was to make an Imperial Helles, essentially.
Okay.
Because I've heard that's what all those Germans over there are making Fest beer to be instead of a Märzen.
Like some Oompa.
Yeah.
Is that true? I don't know.
I think
that's true.
I think it's a slight... I don't know if Imperial is... It's a slightly stronger Helles.
That's what I meant, like about a percent higher alcohol content or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have that. We have IPAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Theirs sound better.
So I absolutely love this beer.
It's good beer.
I think it's a really fantastic beer.
Oh, awesome.
I'm trying to remember, my palate trying to remember if it tastes, you know, like a Oktoberfest that I had at Oktoberfest.
Okay.
And I don't think it does.
Oh.
But I wonder if that's... Honestly, because it's better. I think it's a little sweeter than I remember having. What is the alcohol on the percentage?
The alcohol is 5.4, and it finished at about 10-12. And so I would like it to get drier, and that's something I've also been experimenting with, especially on the lagers, is how to get it drier. And I've found that with step mashing, I've gotten the biggest drop in attenuation, or I guess increase in attenuation. Yeah. And I got about 10% increase in attenuation by doing a step mash versus single infusion.
Interesting.
And they'll drink more when it's drier, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so the first Oktoberfest I did was before I was doing that. And so this one was kind of a guess in terms of knowing that I was going to get it to be a little drier, but not knowing how dry.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, it's unfortunate a little bit because it's actually the sweetness that I really like. It's a really nice sweetness. There's just something about it that is what I really like about it. But in order to get more of those like European malt flavor, I think it has to be drier. You're going for Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Right.
But you know how many people... don't think of that color as Oktoberfest.
Right.
Think of this color.
The Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest John that they've been doing the past few years have been light in color like this, and every time I pour it in a glass, it throws me off because you're right, dog. I think of Oktoberfest as like an amber ale.
Yeah. But it's not at Oktoberfest.
It's not even stylistically, but I think that's what we have been presented with in craft for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, when we were coming up in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, when you didn't get a lot of lagers, period. And so you would get, it's Märzen, Oktoberfest.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing. And that's a we get this copper-colored beer.
Yeah.
There were not this really cool yellow beer that everybody wants to drink a shit ton of.
Yeah, it looks like a Helles.
Yeah.
That's how it should look.
Like marigold or whatever.
I'd be really curious to taste it, I guess, again, when you dry it out. But part of me, I feel like I'm going to be disappointed. I almost just want you to brew this and not call it an Oktoberfest because I really, really like it.
Yeah.
It's a great beer.
I'm okay with it.
I'm curious to try it dried out too, then, and see what happens. You know?
Exactly. That's what I just want to see what it's going to be like if I can get it drier. I'm totally happy with this beer.
Yeah. Well,
name this one after Justin.
There we go. Like, dead. Dying.
Just in case.
Deathtoberfest.
Just when you brew it, just open up the tank
and
dump it into the drain because that's where he's going anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Never serve it, never sell it, just
the
Crossley Memorial.
Down the drain.
Yeah.
All right, what's the next one?
The next one is my Vienna Lager, Middle Out.
Okay.
Gayest name ever.
Yeah. Well, I got the idea when I was brewing a beer at Sierra Nevada and we made a Vienna Lager.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, this is actually a decent style of beer, so I figured I'd make one.
Okay.
Oh, you're welcome for that.
Better than that one.
All right.
I didn't say that.
This is way more traditionally German than the one we made at Sierra Nevada. It's just the typical noble hops.
I feel like this is very bitter as well.
Dry. Definitely dry. And tanniny.
I feel it's very bitter as well.
I think I get that bitterness for a second on my palate.
Yeah.
Goes away almost instantly.
Really?
And then I'm more with Doc on like a either tanniny or something.
It's still there. There's something
sharp there. It's like,
yeah.
But I thought the Kolsch was a lot more bitter than this one.
Really?
It is technically.
Yeah. Perceived. To me, I think. Yeah. You guys are trying to tell me what I think is wrong, and that's not cool.
No, you can think.
Well,
it.
We can never tell you what you think is wrong. That's just not a thing.
That's true.
And this is one that I've been kind of messing with to balance kind of what you guys are saying, is the handful of Carafa 2 that I throw in here adds kind of a bitter, dry grain character to balance with the bitterness from the hops.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I've been doing the dryness testing, the dryness has affected the bitterness, the perceived bitterness, a lot in this beer.
Yeah.
And I've had batches that, even though just in the gravity drop that I've been seeing, have made the beer way out of balance, at least for me, stylistically, to where it's like, whoa. And I've had to make like 15% corrections in the hop bittering on the next batch to even get it back into kind of where it's somewhat balanced. And as it's been drying out, the grain astringency has kind of, for lack of a better word, becoming more apparent too. And so that's an interesting thing that I'm trying to balance with the hop bitterness too.
So what you're saying is you have no idea what you're doing.
Exactly, but people
at
keep buying it.
At any given time.
So,
let's change the fuckload of shit. Right, just everything.
Well, no. I'm trying to get the attenuation, not changing anything else. But then that affects the beer so drastically. I mean, drastic in my terms, not necessarily.
Yeah, no, we get
beer
it.
Consumer.
is a 15% change in a commercial recipe considered a wide swing, or is it kind of within the respectable norms of, hey, nobody out front is really going to notice, but it's more for just to scratch an itch that I have.
Well, essentially,
the I being you in this
communication.
Right, yes.
I get what you're thinking over there.
Thank you.
The 15% essentially made almost a 5 IBU drop, which is the theoretical threshold for what people could taste.
Right.
And so I was making that jump right there
to
just try to get it perceivably less bitter.
Okay.
To balance with the
so you're
dryness.
Not going
to
answer my question.
Why are you throwing the carafa in there? Do you have somebody with smaller hands?
You need less carafa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Brogan could throw it in. She has smaller hands.
What's the carafa for? Is that the color?
Basically to add the color.
Yeah. Color, but it's also got tannins. Yeah. It's got that astringency.
It's dehusked. It's the dehusked version, so I was trying to cut
it's not,
that.
It's not like burnt bitter, but it's still got that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're licking toast.
I use pale chocolate.
I get that, too.
I am going to... That's the thing, tasting this batch with the reduced bitterness, I am going to try to figure out a way to get... I like the color, and I think it's appropriate. And so I need to figure out how to get that color without having the astringency.
I used pale chocolate in mine. I haven't instilled... It's lagering right now. But I'll bring it in. I'm curious to taste it as well. Because, I mean, the first time we did at Eagle Rock, we used Carafa 3, and the color was rad. I didn't get to taste any of it, but... this one, I was like, fuck, I only had Carafa 2, access to Carafa 2. So I was like, well, I don't want the kind of thing that you're describing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with pale chocolate to try to get get the color. And if there is any grain kind of flavor transfer, I really enjoy pale chocolate. And so I thought I can get away with it. So we'll see.
And one thing I've thought about messing with is adding the Carafa into the mash, or into the lauter instead.
Yeah,
because theoretically you get the color contribution.
You do. I think you need to add a little more. I think you need to overcompensate
for percentage a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, I've done it once or twice. Doc is either seizing or telling me
words. No,
all right.
That's what I taste in there. It's just this.
You don't want to use more, is what you're saying.
I don't
want to
know.
Yeah. But I think you're like 5 minutes ago because we're talking about adding to the sparge where there's going to be no flavor transfer. But there's going to be no flavor transfer, so...
Fine, try it.
Okay, I can't. I've done it a couple of times, and in my experience, like I said, I think you need to add a little more if you want to equal the color of being into the mash.
Yeah, I think his color is going to be fine with all his base grains and everything else. It's going to be good.
You hear that, Warren? Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine.
Not according to the BJCP.
Okay, yeah, and you heard of those?
No.
Okay, then... fine.
Yeah.
It's actually a really good beer.
Well, thank you.
Actually,
I think it's all right.
It doesn't taste like a Vienna lager. It doesn't taste like any Vienna lager I've ever had.
Right.
Okay.
Which is a distinction. I really think those are two different things. So it's probably the style. What do I know? It doesn't taste like any commercial example of Vienna lager I've ever had.
Which doesn't mean that
it's not a good Vienna lager then. It's just very different than other ones I've had.
Because of the roasted grain flavor?
Well, actually, it's very often more of a caramel toffee roasted grain flavor than you're having here. It's just that yours, like Doc is describing, is a little more chalky, astringent.
And minerally.
And
it's actually minerally. I just got on the last one when I warmed up a little bit. And you're trying to wrangle in the Germans now, I can tell. So
all of them.
All of them. Both of them.
I need to get them all in one place.
Yeah. Put them in a can.
Well, yeah. The last part, it's warmed up some. I just get more... The minerally part where it's sharp and astringent's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm reading both of those as bitterness to me.
Okay.
Okay.
But not hop bitterness.
I never said hop bitterness. This is more bitter.
Oh, okay.
There's a bitter thing that overrides everything.
It's a sharpness in the middle and it carries through and it's just... it's a good beer.
I would drink the Oktoberfest 5-1 over this one.
I agree 100%.
Okay. And then pass out and wake up in an orchard, probably.
Sounds like a good time.
Bark. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bark stain.
All good beers, Beardy. You're doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them in on the next batches, if you would, please.
Yeah.
And we'll
all good beers.
Rip you apart again.
Right. You can tell me what I need to do better next time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if you do better next time.
A very good point of contention.
Bring them in better next time.
You know what?
So the delivery was also a problem.
I felt like your delivery was a little off.
It was poor, and the caps were way too tight.
Okay, yeah.
I've never heard that as a knock on anything.
Didn't walk them into the front drawer.
And your cooler bag is ugly.
Well, that's true.
This time was an improvement because before there was no cooler bag with ice packs, so it was warm, flat beer that I was bringing in.
Right.
And so this was a step up.
Okay, I got you. Well, at least you got some things to work on.
Right, yeah. Delivery and beer. I'm taking notes.
Okay. All right. Well, now we've got a homebrew from Jason Petro. Homebrewer Jason Petro.
Are you ready now?
Get this commercial beer out of my face.
You thought my beer was
bad. In our glass.
You got us all warmed up.
Oh, a little cloudy, JP.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy.
Looks like homebrew.
What are you going to do? This is my Grodzicki, that smoked Polish lager. No, it's a lager. It's not a lager. It's an ale. Smoked Polish beer. It's like 3.2% ABV, 100% oak smoke wheat malt. I used Hercules hops in this one instead of the Tettnang that I used last time.
Do you like this style quite a bit?
I really do. I think it's great. I mean, it's, sub 3.5. I really like smoked beers, and I kind of wanted to get that. Hercules is a German hop. It's kind of new school, old school thing where it has those noble characteristics, but it's kind of has a new school kind of melony thing going on, which I thought would work pretty well with the smoke. It's very, very light. I mean,
it is very light.
There's 0.3 ounces in this entire batch because I did it on the Zymatic, so it's 2.5 gallons, but there's almost no hops in it.
Okay. Well, I know nothing about this style, so I cannot comment in that regard. For a smoked beer, for me, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'll usually just spit that out. I think the smokiness is really nice.
I think it's cool
little
because
tobacco,
it's...
It's not peat, right?
No, it's oak.
It's oak, you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is
cool. It
has
more depth to it.
Yeah, and it's 100% oak, German oak smoke wheat malt.
Okay.
That's all it is. 3 pounds. In a 2.5 gallon batch, it's 3 pounds of malt.
Got it.
That's it. And I think it's cool because you think, it's 100% smoked malt. It's going to be this smoky bomb. And it's just, it's there, but it's a very intense flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the light body of the beer and the bitterness of the hops actually could be a little bit bitter, or more bitter. It's traditionally kind of a bitter beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Could be a little more, but I think that kind of helps to just kind of, it's a light smoke, and it's, I don't know, I find it really pleasant. I really enjoy it.
Do you drink it by the pint or like little glasses?
No, I drink it. I drink like a nonic English pint glass.
Yeah. I don't know that I could handle the smoke by the pint, but I like it like this. It is a very light-bodied beer, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. I do a step mash.
Okay.
I'll do one at 102, and I mash it there for 20 minutes, and I mash at 152 for half an hour, and then 175 to mash out.
Okay. Comments, anybody?
To me, the oak smoke definitely carries the beer.
Yeah.
In both the aroma and the flavor. If it was just 3 pounds of wheat malt, it would just be carbonated water to me.
Yeah.
I agree. That oak is kind of almost replacing like a body malt.
Yeah, exactly. The oak tannins are replacing the body of the beer, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but if you don't like smoked or wood flavors,
this is not the beer for you.
Exactly.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But I could get behind a pint of this, probably. Mm-hmm.
Just one?
Well,
that sucks.
Yeah, I don't like tasting wood that much.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't developed the taste of wood.
That's how straight you are.
Yeah. No homo.
I don't even like the taste of wood.
Fellas, is it gay to drink an oak smoke wheat malt beer? I'm asking. Just asking.
For a friend.
For breakfast, maybe.
Microphones. What do you think, Doc?
Oh. Okay. I was expecting to hate this.
And I was right.
Based on the last beers I had.
You're right. It's a very light beer.
Yeah.
You know, if I was questioning the water in Cuba, this is awesome.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
I'm smelling. I'm expecting like a lot of smoke, a lot of oak, and it really not. I was like,
I mean, it's obvious. It's there. Well, it's not there.
Okay. I'm picturing a nice kind of white, clean Cuban hospital.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it smells clean, but still smells like cigars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the wood shop.
Lost in his own mind. Yeah. A dentist goes on a journey.
A very clean Cuban hospital.
Very clean. Well, clean yet dirty.
To get out, he has to break his own mind.
It's a very, very clean beer. Could I do a whole pint of it? Maybe. But it would be nice as an after dinner small, like maybe a 6 or 8 ouncer.
Yeah? Okay.
It's light and very easy to drink.
I really enjoy the style. I think it's really cool.
Well, you like it because your friends hate it and you can keep it around the house.
I don't have any. No one comes out and sees
it. Oh, yeah.
I live way the fuck out in nowhere, so.
And my neighbor could drink a whole pint of this and still mow my lawn.
That's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got low alcohol.
It's the Polish lawnmower beer.
He mows for hours.
Oh, yeah. He's a mower.
Anyway, so I don't know. It's a beer. I brew every now and then. The last time I brought it in, thank you. It was I think Tettnanger, and then I was going to do Saaz, and I'm like, well, let's go. And you can sort of get a little kind of like a white melon kind of thing happening in the nose, but I don't know. The smoke kind of overpowers it. I want to play around with it a little bit.
White Clinica.
Was the hop the only thing that you changed?
Yeah,
from this batch to last batch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, of all the things we've said, you know, descriptions anyway, what we should say is it's a really great fermentation.
Fermentation
was awesome.
White Labs European Ale.
No, there's no bad in this.
Fermented at 64.
It's clean as fuck.
Yeah, it's clean. There's no bad ickies in this.
Yeah.
Chat room question for JP.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
With JP's system, does he run into issues with running into over-extraction and astringency? I'm assuming that JP sparges. If so, how does he handle those issues with low-gravity beer?
First of all, never assume a JP does because
I felt like I was in the third grade listening to somebody.
I'm sorry.
Bevo just got called on to read. And she's,
for the whole class.
And then Jane ran to the park.
Okay, let me start over.
Will. Sorry, JP. I didn't mean to step on you, but I just was like, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's you funny. Missed some gems when you were gone.
We use nouns and verbs.
No, we don't.
Go ahead, JP.
I don't sparge. It's the zymatic. There's no sparge. There's no sparge system, so I don't run into any of that shit. When I did brew on, you know, when you had to sparge, I did. I've done both, but I used to fly sparge.
Me too, but then.
It was just easier. I don't know. I liked. There's something about like controlling the valves and then looking at the. It was a way to be kind of more active in the brewing, which I kind of enjoyed. You know, checking the level, making sure whatever, and then checking the thing, doing all that.
Plus, my first sparge arm was a cool little like pinwheel that I bought at More Beer.
Yeah.
Remember that thing with the little copper helicopter?
I sure do.
It was real cool.
Yeah, it was I think from Listerman.
Okay,
Listerman product. Those things are dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I don't run into those. I mean, I never did really run into any of those issues, or if I did, I didn't know about it. But
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
now you prefer zero involvement.
Yeah. Now I just want to, because this is what I enjoy about brewing is tasting and critiquing the recipe and then going to change that. All that fucking crap in the middle sucks.
Okay.
When you
mess up in the middle of this, like, oh, did that mess up this beer a little bit? But when you're doing the zymatic, it's just it's there.
Yeah.
I'm going to bust out mine this weekend, I think.
So. All right.
Nice.
You think you should?
Yeah.
What are you going to brew?
Something easy.
Wait.
I got a new brewer that wants to, like, hey, brew beer with me.
So. I'm no longer going to be the only home brewer on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I do that once in a while. I think it all the time.
It's not Rain Man. You're not brewing with Rain Man, are you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Definitely a third hop edition. Definitely.
No, it's a girl.
Okay. The brew day will never end.
Wants to say, hey, brew with me, so, yeah, fine. We'll make it. It's like, oh, we're brewing.
Yeah.
We're going to put in the zymatic. And
come over to brew. I got 6 hours to kill. Drop them. That's really what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there you go. We did beer tastings.
Great beers, everybody.
Thanks, Justin.
That was enjoyable.
Where's your beer? You know, I saw on your birthday post that Jay Brooks posted.
Oh, I didn't look at my birthday post this year.
You're a quote-unquote prolific homebrewer.
What?
So
this Justin? Oh,
wow. This Justin Crossley. It was a picture from like 11 years ago.
Oh,
but
prolific homebrewer drinker.
That's in my rider.
It's in your ride or die.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious about how your homebrewing is going.
Great. It's going great. I looked at my system just the other day. I was outside smoking.
Prolifically?
And there it was, sitting on the side of my house, and I checked it out.
All right.
So, yeah.
Not even in the garage anymore.
No. My fermenter is.
Okay.
Yeah, but no.
All right.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Interesting.
It happens.
Hey, Drake's Seen Brewing it. Company just put out their War Pigeon Double IPA. Cool label, too, by the way. Check it out. It's they deployed some of the freshest hops in their hop arsenal. It gives you a payload of blast of dank floral citrus. Let's see. Did they write here what they use?
Does Beardy have a hop arsenal?
Do I need one?
It's 8%.
Hear that?
Double IPA. Here's the hops. Mosaic, Simcoe, Idaho 7, Mandarina, Huel Malone, Chinook.
I think it's just Melon.
No, I like Malone.
like
that sounds like a guy you met at Vinny's last night.
Huel Malone.
Huel Malone.
Damn.
Pecco? How do you say that one? P-E-K-K-O? I've never heard of
it. I don't know. It's almost too many Ks for me, though.
And Warrior. Almost. So go check it out. You can go to drinkdrakes.com. And it sounds like
a rad hop combo, dude.
Yeah. War Pigeon Double IPA. Give it a look. All right. What do we have? Twitter game.
What was it? Oh, come on.
Well, I was wondering, in 50 years, when Doc's European cut briefs are going to be up for barter. Mm-hmm. At Barter Burning Man auction. What are they going to go for?
Okay. What do we get?
Well, we got WNY Brews coming in with a vintage, sun-ripened, 50-year-old bottle of Pliny.
All right.
Which I think would be pretty good.
Sun-ripened.
Austin sun-ripened. Says 4 bitcoins.
Wow.
A grieve job in Doc's honor, and a beaver.
And a beaver. Okay.
Yay.
Hopefully I... I'm
not stuffed, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Might be a living beaver.
I'm just talking like 80s.
I like the 4 Bitcoin, John.
Yeah.
Brian Baumgart says, in 50 years, Doc will probably still be alive and will need those.
Yeah, so no barter.
No barter. He'll be alive.
Okay. I plan on it.
I think he'll need a more protective version.
they'll be less white. Than,
yeah, well, just yeah. One ball will be on each side hanging down.
Next to my ball.
John Split Herman says, one of Eli Trickle's old tube socks.
Ah.
Oh, good old good Eli.
Trinkle.
Trinkle. Trinkle. Yeah, he said Trickle. No. But apparently, by the way, I got an email from the Upland guys from last week, and they were coming up with names for their brewing team fantasy football. And they just put after the show, so one of the staff was listening to the show was like, we need to call it Eli Trinkle.
Of course. Oh, wow. Did they comment on whether or not Eli Trinkle liked his 5 minutes
right?
No, of
they
fame?
Didn't. But I'll write them back and see.
I would like a report.
Yeah.
JBC Brewing says, Justin's dead feet in a jar of formaldehyde. They're dead feet.
That's a good martyr.
But so
you have to wait 50 years for those.
Well, what I want to know is are they cut off when he's dead, or are they amputated and because they are dead while Justin is still alive, and then so therefore they are dead feet.
Yeah,
I feel like
only after the whole action is done will be revealed.
Because you know what I mean. I think they need to be cold from you while they died and you are still alive. Otherwise, it's just a part of your body.
Right.
Get hobbled.
I feel like one of two ways.
Okay.
Massive heart attack, so
right,
instant.
Right. Yeah.
Or well, yes, slowly instant. Pieces of me will start dying and falling off. So I don't know which it's going to be.
Like leprosy?
This is how Justin
gets
his
started
feet.
Already?
Well,
come on.
I don't want to talk about it.
You're 40.
This is how Justin gets his feet back. Because who else is going to have Doc's crusty underwear in 50 years? It's going to be Justin bartering to get his feet back.
Nobody said crusty.
I mean, at least they're preserved in formaldehyde.
Right. Nobody said crusty.
They'll have technology to revive them again.
No one has to say crusty, Doc. You're older.
They're not crusty now.
And last but not least, Andrew Boozer says, two castrated goats in Chechnya.
Okay. Chechnya.
And they will be bronzed and worshipped on the town square.
In Chechnya, we can't castrate goats. We have no money for this.
And the goats have no testicles.
Yes, they're born without balls.
In Chechnya,
we need
goats
them.
Are born with no balls.
We need them because we need to tell male goat from female goat from far away.
Very far away.
Yeah.
From Russia.
All the way across country.
And they all cried the same.
They all
it's a goat cry.
I wish I had a band because I would call my next album and they all cried the same. It'd be like some weird dark metal.
Yeah.
That should be Nate's
track
band.
One.
That should be Brain Oil's
next
title.
Album.
And they all cried the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was good.
All right.
Well, my vote obviously is for Justin's dead feet in a jar of formaldehyde.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
All right. That's our Twitter winner for today.
Remember when we used to give Bev 2 votes?
I do.
As if we cared.
Remember when she voted?
Remember when she paid attention to the show?
No, that one would have gotten both of my votes anyway.
Okay. That's right.
One vote for each dead foot.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
All right. That's all we got for you for today. Thanks to our guest once again, Gowan's Heirloom Ciders. Go check them out at, I guess, they have a couple websites.
You can,
GowanOrchards.com or probably GowanHeirloomCider.com.
Right.
And we're off next week.
Oh, off?
No show.
That's right.
It's an off week.
I'm busy anyway.
But I did want to remind you that we're doing a live Sour Hour from the Fort Collins, Colorado Hop Grenade. That is happening next week on Wednesday. I believe it's Wednesday the 4th. And then we're doing our session live from Fort Collins on Monday the 9th. So JP and Doc got a couple weeks off.
I'm all over it.
Yeah.
I'm doing...
You know what? I've got
Dr. Homebrew this week.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Destiny. I need to get up to 300 light level, so
yeah.
I'm good with that, too.
Okay. Sounds like
Sweet.
Something. Sounds like doing something.
Sounds like something.
Virtually. He's virtually doing something.
Later, everybody.
Later.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. The folks from Gowan's Heirloom Cider came into the studio and on the internet to change things up and talk about their great ciders. Check them out online and in the stores and all over the place because they're really good ciders, and I don't have the website. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcast and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Shit. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith and Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasting Meat D, Warren at Another Beardy, and Beverly is at Bevo1, but JP thinks Twitter is dead, and you should follow him on Instagram at Major Jip. Today's show is produced by Beverly, and your host has been Justin. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning the race. JP does great.